This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Cindy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
12 noon, Thursday, January 11th.
Gary Zolak, what's up, brother? That couple should be there by 12:30. Call Papagino's and directed it to you and your name at Radio Ops down underneath. So hopefully they delivered there and know how to get it down there. But keep an eye out for that. It's your name, billed to you. I'm getting stole my credit card. All right, dude. Enjoy. Hopefully they'll say something nice about it.
All right. Scott Zolak coming through last week with a big Papagino's order. Welcome to another extended edition. Special edition. It's an extended edition, Andy. Don't look at
we're
me
not
like
going
that.
Any longer than noon to two, are we?
No, but the whole fact that we're still on air, it's an extended...
It's still a miracle.
it's PFW in progress extended. As the Patriots keep winning during this playoff season, another big win in a history of big wins for this team in this era of the Patriots. And we're going to talk about that, talk about the Colts game coming up, and a huge day going on down there. I mean, this is media day times 10, and not just because they have more pizza. I mean, they're just trotting up player after player to the podium, and you'll be able to hear all those press conferences in their entirety on Patriots.com throughout the day. Chris Ferreira, webmaster, getting the stuff up there for you to listen to, download, whatever you want to do. So it's huge, huge. I'm excited.
You should be.
I've noticed.
You should be excited, Fred.
Yeah.
After that win on Sunday, and then you come Wednesday, there's a lot of excitement around the stadium. You know, I know that when you've been there before, you tend to kind of take things for granted, but you're two wins away from another Super Bowl now.
I was just talking about what's on TV right now. You missed that.
Okay. Down.
Good for you.
The Spanish station. Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what do we have? We had Richard Seymour,
right?
Daniel Graham, Mike Vrabel, Tom Brady at the podium today. Going to have another sampling tomorrow. Teddy Bruschi, Troy Brown.
Dan Klecker.
Now, this is new.
I think Ty Warren.
Usually,
be talking.
With the AFC Championship week, it's just business as usual until Friday, and then
right.
They bring out a couple people from each team down at the headquarters, wherever the championship is. They're not going to do that this year.
Right. No, I guess what they're doing is they're going to have them at the podium on Friday, and they're going to be televised live on NFL Network.
Right.
So there's no need to...
As well as on Patriots.com.
Right. Well, we have everything all the time. Every day is special for Patriots.com,
right.
Fred, as you know.
So this is huge. How was Belichick today? Any words of wisdom that we want to talk about?
Colts are good.
Colts are very good.
We know that.
He's in midseason form. Look, obviously he wasn't having any of this defensive renaissance for Indianapolis. This is a good defense, according to Bill Belichick. Nothing has changed. They've played well. they, you know, they forced turnovers. They, you know, he made special mention saying we saw that ourselves here in the game in November.
Bob Sanders, not a one-man band.
Bob Sanders is a very good football player, all right? Okay? But he's no one-man band.
Right.
It's not all about Bob Sanders.
And he also did his preemptive strike in his opening comments on, this is a, you know, Colts used to be in our division, still seems like we play him twice a year, there's a lot of history, but none of that matters. You know, we're not, you know, there's a lot goes on, but we're talking about this Sunday, and all that matters is who plays well, basically.
Sure, sure.
So
Bill was his normal self, I thought, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't you think, Andy?
I thought he was his normal self, especially with an understanding that there's a little bit of a national audience. He's not, I think if this game was midseason, he might have been a little crankier, but he sort of answered a couple questions on Adams, sort of, you know, kind of touched on things, but stayed focused to all that matters is how we play Sunday, not the history, not the players, all
he
that
He did
crap.
Answer some questions about Adam?
A little bit.
Oh, yeah. You know, all the respect in the world for Adam. And,
right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. He made a lot of big kicks for this team.
You know, I think if it's midseason, he shoots those down. He just kind of cuts them off, and he didn't do it that. He gave a short, but.
Yeah.
And there was also a quick trip down memory lane, which you have to have whenever you're playing the Colts. Freddie, one of the out-of-town guys who I don't know who it was, but he was talking to Ted Marchabrota yesterday about Belichick, and Bill went into
Billy.
You know, his anecdotes about working for the Colts in 75 out of a little closet, and he was funny. He was entertaining.
Yeah, talked about, what did he say, push the walk now button to cross the street when they practiced at the high school across the street.
Kind of like a middle school team would have to do.
An eighth-grade football team would do, and but he said, you know, he could never repay him for everything he learned.
He learned
in that
more
year.
Football in that room, he said, than anywhere else in his life.
Wow.
Never repay him for the $25 a week he made.
Okay.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
So that's cool. With the guys coming
you never
out.
Never just let one go.
With the guys coming out to the podium, were there less people available in the locker room?
Yes.
That would be a resounding yes.
Really?
Yeah. Although PFW made out okay.
Yeah.
Got what we needed.
Andy talked to Larry Izzo. Tom talked to Roosevelt Colvin. Large contingents around Ellis Hobbs, Artrell Hawkins, Tully Bantakane. Who else? The offensive line still seems like they're underground.
Light was talking to a couple people sort of one-on-one. So
who was?
Light. He's an offensive lineman.
I didn't see him talking to anybody.
Coming off a great game.
I missed that.
I think
Copen
he's kind of poo-pooing the I'm a vocal go-to guy gangbang type thing every
Excuse
week.
Me?
Yeah.
Sorry, whatever. Sorry, I brought that out of the locker room. But that's what we refer to them in the locker room when about 50 guys go and talk to one player all at once.
Right.
But
it's nothing sexual.
Yes, it's nothing dirty.
That really bothers me that some ass.
I got this guy calling me out, and he swears on the show all the time. But he, you know, is talking one on one. But I, the offensive line is. I tried to talk to Copen after the game. You know, clearly that was coming off probably their best game of the year, and they're kind of remaining on the quiet front and just letting their performance speak for it themselves.
There's a lot of excitement, though, Fred. I would say there's a lot of enthusiasm around here. Bill made several mentions of we're very excited to be in this game. This is every team's goal at the start of the season. One of four teams left, and we're very excited to be here. And he made a comment about the Colts and the Patriots have both having won the wild card game, both gone on the road in the divisional round to win, both teams deserving to be here.
Now, I had to bow out of our show last night because I'm sick, probably people can tell. But I was watching, and
you guys, did a four, amazingly.
Giving you the look I usually get.
There's nothing better than the deadpan Fred Kirsch look.
And you guys were just, all over the Patriots on this game.
I love the Patriots in this game. I really don't think there's any way they lose. Let me rephrase that. There's a 2% chance that they lose, and that's just that they're so emotionally drained from the game on Sunday. And Bill actually admitted that's a concern today,
sure.
Which I was a little surprised at. He was asked about it. And he said he already addressed the team about it, and it is something to be concerned about. He thinks it's Wednesday now, that's in the past, that's over with.
That's another one of those that I think at a different time he might have snapped at, but he seemed like he was playing along a little bit today. I mean, I could have seen an answer to that being, you got all offseason to rest. I mean, this is what you play for. The goal at the beginning of the year is to be in this game. You're in it now. There's no reason to be drained. But
so
he didn't.
There was one example of him not playing along today, and I want to get the exact quote that he said. But he was asked about the post-game antics.
Oh, really? They're still talking about that.
Well, this is the first time that they've talked
it
since
That's
then.
True.
I got to tell you, I thought the guy who asked the question had no stones. He was kind of like
yes.
trying to roundabout get to the topic without asking
about
it.
No one else asked, so. He had more stones than
the question was, are there any procedures that you want your team to follow after the game? And this was the beginning, middle, and end of the quote. We try to handle those situations the same as we always have.
Right.
So, not playing along
whatsoever. I would have been a jerk more than that. The way the guy asked the question,
well, I don't
I
think
would
he
have
was
said,
a jerk. I
well,
just
when the game
the
ends,
it.
I like the guys to take their pads off. Then I usually like them to shower, put some clean clothes on, get on the bus. I mean, it was a stupid question, to be honest.
Well, and he got a, you know, that kind of response.
Yeah.
With the Colts having played on Saturday, Dungy gave them Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off. Do you like the way he's handling it out there?
I do like that, yep. Actually. I think Bill would have done the same thing.
Why wouldn't you? As coaches, you can start preparing for both teams, and then once one of the teams win, you can go full bore into the coaching and the game plan. But
do you think
what do the players gain from an extra
day? Do you think it's
there?
Important for Tony Dungy this week to try to take pressure off, to try to keep his team loose, to try to not have them think about, God, here's yet another playoff season where we're, you know, if we don't win it this year, you know, what next?
I do.
You think it's important for him do that?
I don't know. I feel like there's not a lot of pressure on him. I feel
think,
like this
you don't
year,
think there's pressure on him?
Oh, I think all the pressure's on the Patriots.
Really? Yeah,
they're the better team, and everybody knows it.
But that's not the
Colts
point.
Colts are stumbling into the game, and Manning's throwing interceptions.
Colts haven't played well.
Patriots but it's not a matter of who the better team is right now. Yet another opportunity for the Colts.
It is, but I think that... Well, I mean, maybe I'm misreading it, but I think that most people that I've listened to nationally all think the Patriots are a better team and they'll win the game.
But that's
the Patriots.
See, I disagree.
I think he's spinning the Bill Belichick thread of one's giving you a chance this week.
No,
guys.
That's not what I'm saying.
I think that's what Tony Dungy's telling his team.
Well, that's what I do.
Well, yes, absolutely. But I think that most people think the Patriots are going to win. I think most people think that in this type of situation, the Patriots always win. They've never lost an AFC championship.
So what do the Colts have to lose?
So you think the only reason why people think the Patriots are going to win is because the Colts will choke?
No, I'm just saying.
See, I think the people think the Patriots are going to win because they're better.
I think people at this time of the year think they're better.
I don't think it has anything to do with the time of year. I think they just think they're a better team.
I think it has everything to do with the time of the year.
I think you just watched the last month of games for both teams.
And that's what I'm
talking
about.
One team looks like it shouldn't be in the postseason, and one is playing good football.
I mean, one team a month ago lost to the Houston Texans.
I know a lot of you guys, you know, just a week ago were saying the Ravens were the team to beat. And the Colts beat them.
And was that me?
No, but the Colts beat them. And you were, and people at this table.
I wasn't what? What did I
I'm not talking about you, Paul. Don't worry about it, all right? For once, you're not lumped into it.
He gets all worked up over there.
Because he's just making stuff up.
I'm not making stuff up. I think a lot of people were saying the Ravens were the team to beat in the AFC, and the Colts beat them. What does that make the Colts?
I thought the 1 and 2 seeds were the teams to beat. And I thought the Patriots, my argument was, if the Patriots could get past the Chargers, I thought the Ravens were going to win, and I thought it was very difficult to go back-to-back on the road, two physical teams, and win.
All right.
But that's been taken away. The Colts knocked off that opponent.
I'll speak for myself, and I think I'll speak for most people when I say most people think the Patriots are the better team. Okay?
Right.
Not by a lot, though.
Me, Fred Kirsch.
Not by a hell of a lot. And at home, the Colts have a good chance to win this game. And I think as far as their fans think and as far as their owner thinks, I think they think that we should win this game. And I think the pressure is on the Colts.
I agree with a lot of what you said. I just think the pressure is on the Patriots because everybody thinks they're the better team, just assumes the Patriots are going to win. And I think that makes it – you got to put some work into it to get that assumed result.
Well, I still think – you know, I agree with you. I think they are the better team. But I don't think it's that much better. And I think that playing at home – you know, home crowd. This is what they've always wanted. You know, to have AFC Championship at home.
No question.
This is it.
But it didn't play out. I mean, all along the talk was, well, if the Colts had beaten the Patriots in the regular season, the AFC Championship would be in Indy on their turf, and they could blah blah blah.
And now they did.
Yeah. Well,
but not really. It played out kind of backwards.
If the Patriots had won that game.
I know, but they kind of stumbled into it. It's not really the scenario everybody put up.
I understand.
You know, everybody assumes the Colts would have won two games by blowing people out of the water.
But when you have a scenario that falls in your lap like that.
But I don't think it is.
You've got to take advantage of it.
I think it's totally off the wall the way it happened.
But I understand what your point is, but I think I would definitely be in line with your thinking if last year Indy had beaten Pittsburgh and the Patriots had beaten Denver. And then we went to Indy for the AFC Championship. I would say 1,000% of the pressure is on the Colts because they're the perceived best team in the conference playing at home.
Right.
They've always bitched about never getting that game at home.
Right.
Well, here it is. Right now, nobody perceives the Colts as being the best team in the conference. Matter of fact, everybody perceives them as being the fourth best team in the conference.
Do the Colts think that the Patriots are better than them?
Well, I mean, that's a question you have to ask them. I don't know.
I doubt it.
I'm not trying to sound like Bill, but I mean, I can't tell you.
I doubt.
I can't tell you what the Colts are thinking.
I doubt that the Colts think that the Patriots are better than them, and I doubt
no,
that
of
they
course
think.
Not.
And
what does that have to do with
it? I believe they think they should win this game.
Well, of course they. Why would you play? Why would you even show up?
I think the pressure's on them, Paul. I really
do. Do the Patriots think they're going to win the game? Do the Patriots think they should win?
But the Patriots have gotten there before. The Colts never have. And
I
really think, you know, maybe,
I mean,
let's see what our listeners
it's kind
think
of an irrelevant thing because
who's the
who
pressure
really
on
cares?
Most?
Who really cares who the pressure's on most?
Well, I think pressure
I think when
is
you're,
what happened to,
I think
what
when
happened to the Chargers last week with pressure.
I think
they
the
folded.
Pressure was on San Diego last week.
And they folded. And they folded.
Right. And I think this week the pressure's on the Patriots and they won't fold.
I disagree. I think the pressure is on the Colts. I think it's on both teams. Let's face it.
I think when you're supposed to win a game, quote-unquote supposed to, the pressure's on you.
Okay, well, I think more pressure's on the Colts this week because of the situation and history.
I don't think anybody expected them to go to the Super Bowl, so I don't think there's a lot of pressure on them.
Same thing with the Patriots.
But now, given what is left, people more expect the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl than they do the Colts to go to the Super Bowl.
I'm more concerned about what the Colts think about themselves than what people think. And the Colts know that they've got to win this game. And I'd be interested.
Go to the Patriots. I mean, they're going there to win. Both teams are going there to win.
And I'd be interested to hear what our listeners think. Who has more pressure on them this game, Patriots or the Colts?
I'm guessing our listeners will say the Colts.
Why?
Because of Manning, the whole Manning factor, getting over the top there. But I just think it's such a bizarro postseason where he's playing like crap. So it's almost like you don't expect him to get over the hump this year. So there's no pressure there. Everybody's saying, oh, they can't do this. The run defense, it's a fluke. Herm Edwards won the game for them the first week.
I agree.
Jamal Lewis couldn't play the next week. Steve McNair and the wet ball theory. Everybody thinks they've lucked into it. Well, you know what? So there's no pressure there. If we're not even supposed to be here, then how's their pressure?
Yeah, but don't you think that Peyton Manning, even though he's given nice interviews saying it's a team win or loss, blah, 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 he knows that he can't play like that against the Patriots?
I think he puts an incredible amount of pressure on himself every single football game he prepares for, maybe to a detriment of his performance at times, but I don't think that changes this week because of anything that happened outside of that team.
Okay. Can I just ask your opinion on this, Fred? If let's say Manning goes out and throws three picks and the Patriots roll to a win, are you going to say that clearly there was more pressure on Indy and it showed? Is that going to be clearly
that Peyton Manning can't take the pressure?
See, that's what I don't understand.
I got to tell you what I think happened.
I don't think Manning has been a very good playoff quarterback, but I don't think.
But
that
why?
That means...
Why? Because he can't take the pressure.
Okay, that's fine, but I don't understand why that in turn means there's more pressure on the Colts. Just because the Patriots can handle the pressure better than the Colts doesn't mean there's not more pressure on them.
Last night's share of 0.51 with a 1 share, and the 11:30 had a 0.74 with a 2 share.
So we had another 1.2, right?
Yeah, that's excellent. Great.
Bonus time here at PFW.
I think combined that's the best we've had.
I thought we had like a 0.9 something for one of the half hours last week, didn't we?
Maybe. But I think when you add them up, because the first one might have been...
I think this is basically what in line... Based on what you guys said, this sounds like we're basically now consistently over a 1.
A 2 share for that one show is pretty good.
On cable, that's like a 7.5 on, on broadcast TV.
And cable, it's not. It's more like community cable, isn't it, really?
I don't know why we just took the shots now we're taking at the net.
Wow.
Took that to a whole...
No, so that's pretty good.
But, Fred, to get back to our thing...
Winning helps everybody.
There's two ways I see this unfolding that the Patriots lose. One is the letdown. I think they did have an emotional game against the Jets.
I agree with that.
And across the country, emotional game, Chargers getting... They were all lathered up. I mean, they were emotional.
Right.
And that if you have a letdown, you can lose anytime against anyone if you let down. The second is Peyton Manning is a born loser... much the way Tom Casale describes himself, and the Colts win the game, but he throws four picks, and people say, you know what, they finally won, but not because of Manning. He did his best to screw it up. He's still a loser, and I think that would be the ultimate irony for him to just, like, implode.
Right.
And I think those are the only two ways, because I just think the Patriots are the better football team right now. As much as Bill wants to tell me that's a pretty good defense, you're going to tell me they went from allowing 175 yards a game to all of a sudden they're this dominant front.
And he says nothing has changed.
Nothing's changed.
They've done nothing different schematically. Nothing has changed. Now, I would disagree with that from the schematic standpoint, because I think they made a pretty significant change that no one really talked about, in that they put Rob Morris in at linebacker in place of, was it Gilbert Gardner? And evidently, and we remember Rob Morris, he's been around Indy for a while.
Very smart player.
He's been replaced for a couple of years now, but they played like he's a much bigger guy, and they tried to replace him and just couldn't.
He's a much bigger guy, and I think that he's probably stouter against the run. Now, I don't think that's going to matter a hill of beans against the Patriots, because instead of a team just trying to do one thing, the Patriots can do both things if they choose. I think they're going to be able to run the ball and throw the ball against Indy. But I agree with Andy. There's nothing. I mean, the Indy defense is still not a very good unit. Just because they've played well in the playoffs doesn't mean it's suddenly good now.
What about the fact that the Colts defense did play well against the Patriots when they played them earlier this year?
Well, they turned the ball over. Right. They didn't really stop them unless they were causing turnovers. Now, if that happens again, absolutely, Indy can win.
Right.
You know, if Tom Brady plays the way he did in San Diego, Indy can win this game. Mm-hmm. There's no question, because Peyton Manning, if given those opportunities, will find ways to get the ball in the end zone, yeah. Whereas San Diego didn't do that enough.
Just a quick couple emails on pressure. Scott comes down on both sides. He says, I think the pressure is on both teams is the same. If they win, they go to the Super Bowl. If they lose, they go home. Once the game starts, I doubt players feel any pressure. Well, I'm not sure
if you think
that,
you didn't watch too closely on Sunday as that game was winding down.
Let's see. Justin
says, the sphincters on the other side of the field were really getting tight.
Justin says, Colts have a ton of more pressure than the Patriots. This is our fourth AFC championship in 6 years, and we lost a ton of high-profile players. No one expected us to do anything. Meanwhile, Manning has the 800-pound gorilla on his back that he has never been to a Super Bowl, can't beat the Pats in big spots, and even when at home, they simply can't get over the hump. Peyton Manning and the Colts have a ton more pressure on them than the Pats, no doubt in my mind.
The only question I would ask, I think everything that he just said is right, even though I sort of disagree with the premise. The only thing I would ask for that is, who do you think is a better team? Who do you think is going to win the game? Not, do you think the Colts are going to choke, but who do you think is a better team? Because I don't think anybody thought the Colts choked when they came here in 03 and 04. They thought the Patriots were better.
Right.
So who do you think is better? That's my only question.
Gabe says, Andy, the pressure is on the Colts. They supposedly have the best QB in the league, yada, yada, and all that stuff. But the real reason the pressure sits on the Colts is because the championship game is now in the Colts' house, not the Pats. If we win in the RCA Dome, then I think Bill Polian will punch Tom in the face. P.S., look for the Pats to walk calmly off the field and then go nuts in the locker room.
Yeah, I just don't agree with that. I think the pressure would be on them in their place if they were the number one seed that they'd earned during the year, and they could go into the postseason saying, you know what, we finally got over the hump, now we have to make good on what we earned by being the number one seed. I just feel like when you sort of back into hosting it as the four seed,
the three seed,
it doesn't carry the same pressure.
Not everybody expects the Colts to win.
Nobody does.
That's why I don't think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the Colts.
I don't think there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the Patriots either.
I think it's less
what other people think and more what they think of themselves. That's why there's pressure.
Well, then you're going to say that every team has an insurmountable amount of pressure on
but
them.
But every
game
team
they play.
Doesn't have the history of losing in big spots like this one does. I'm not talking about guys that have been through it. I mean, these are the same guys that have kept losing. This isn't like, 10 years ago, 20 years ago of their history. We're talking recent history. The same players have this experience in their head that we haven't been able to win these big games.
So, somebody brought up to me in the locker room, Chris Kennedy, the 81-82 76ers. You know anything about them? He drew a comparison. I guess they were in the against the Celtics a couple times and couldn't get over the hump.
Julius Erving had Larry Bird by the throat.
Went up 3-1
In 81, the Sixers went up 3-1, and the Celtics came back to win the series on them and then went on to win the title. In 82, again in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Sixers went up 3-1 on the Celtics, and the Celtics came back and won games 5 and 6, had game 7 in Boston, and Philly beat them. And everybody thought they finally got over the hump and they lost in the finals. 83, they won the finals.
And I forgot the other team. He was drawing a comparison in other sports to teams that had to get over the hump against a rival. Obviously, the Yankees, Red Sox one is one of them to go through them. forgot what the other one. There was one other team.
Who was there more pressure
might have been,
on?
Bruins Canadians.
That's an example, Fred. In 2004, you think there was more pressure on the Red Sox or the Yankees?
At that time? Well, I mean,
the Yankees were supposed to win. There was insurmountable.
Yeah, but see,
Paul,
you're not hearing what
the
I'm
Red
saying.
The Red Sox had choked at every level.
Paul,
I'm saying the exact same thing that you were saying about the Colts.
But what I'm saying, the reason why the Yankees don't feel the pressure, even though they were supposed to win like the Colts do, is because they have won in the past.
And I'm saying the Yankees had the pressure on them in that series. The Red Sox had always choked, like the Colts had always choked.
I don't think internally they felt the same kind of pressure that the Colts are feeling now.
Well, you could have fooled me if watching Game 6 and 7 of that
series. Well, they choked. There's no doubt about it.
And you're going to try to tell me they didn't feel it?
Well, by the time they got to Game 7, I think they were.
Difference is, Paul, Vanderjack's not on the Colts anymore, so they won't be doing shots before the game to get ready.
That's a good point.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. It's a good discussion. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Got a ton of emails coming in. People just excited about this game. They should be. This is unbelievable what's going on here, what we've been witnessing. I mean, you know, mid-season, did you really think that the Patriots could get it together like they have?
Nope.
Did you really think that Jabbar Gaffney would put up two back-to-back 100-yard receiving games like he has?
No, without getting too far ahead of ourselves, we sort of started talking yesterday about where this would rank in terms of Bill's coaching jobs. I put this at the top because I don't think the team is all that talented, and people say, okay, 2001, they weren't all that talented.
Right.
The difference is, in my mind, that was something special. You snuck up on people. You were the underdog. No one really took you seriously until
right.
you were having your Super Bowl parade.
Right.
This one, these are the Patriots. People hate the Patriots.
Which is why they should
it's
do
a
these,
dynasty.
These season awards and wait, because Belichick would be hands down coach of the year.
I think he's done a great coaching job. I don't think he's had a ton of talent in different areas.
I agree it's all Bill,
work.
But I do want to give some credit to a guy like Brian Daboll. I mean, look what these wide receivers have done.
I want to give credit to guys like Troy Brown.
True.
I hate that whole
debate. But we knew what he could do.
Whether it's the system or the players that you get into, it's clearly both. And players made plays. I mean, Rishay Caldwell, love him, hate him, whatever. He got open and made a catch he had to. Steven Gostkowski made the kick. I mean, that doesn't work without the players making the plays.
And, you know, I just think that these are good coaches, real
no
good coaches.
Question. I think Andy brings up a really good point, though, about the whole Belichick thing, because I think there is – I mean, I don't think there's any question that this team is far superior in talent than the 2001 Patriots.
Right.
So if you looked at it on the surface and said, that was a better coaching job. That was
not only are they more talented,
right.
they're more pressure tested.
But he's right.
They have experience.
If you look at the way that they went out and won those games in 2001 – right up to the very end, right up to the end of the Super Bowl, no one took them seriously. We remember all the comments
that
on the Rams.
Yahoo, I told you.
I told you he was going to turn into a pumpkin. I told
you
Brady
sure.
was nothing. You know, right up to the very end of the game, they still didn't think the Patriots were very good.
Nobody does that anymore.
No one's doing that anymore. No one's thinking the Patriots aren't very good when they go in to play the Patriots.
You know, it only took 6-7 years, but
no. But my point is, they've had to beat them with still maybe a little bit less. This might be a better coaching job if you really look at it.
Yeah.
Even though they're not coming directly off a Super Bowl win, people still give them the best because they're still the measuring stick for greatness in the NFL over this period. So I think that's a pressure that 2001 team never felt. That 2001 team just cruised into games getting, you know, with reporters predicting 77-3 losses or whatever they were. And you know what? They took it and they worked it and they won. But this year, they've gotten other teams' best. And they're in position to go on another run to a Super Bowl.
Tucson, Arizona, you're on.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love you guys, man.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Now, that was a huge game on Sunday. Whoa, it kept me on the edge of my seat.
Yes. Now, did you enjoy it? Because I've heard Patriots fans go both ways, say they enjoyed it or it was torture.
Well, it was a little bit of both. I had a friend of mine who's a Broncos fan who kept calling me because he was actually pulling for New England, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Broncos fans are good fans.
You're off the Broncos, Fred.
I am, but that's all right.
Well, he even said that he appreciates as a you know a fan that the heart and the tenacity that they played with on Sunday.
Yep.
That he wishes his team could play the same way, but you know, I want to touch on this weekend's game. I think there is a lot of pressure on the Colts because like I said that's the one main obstacle they got to get over. The whole beating the Patriots. You know, it's kind of like how the Bulls were when they had to play against the Pistons back in the, I guess, early 90s.
Yeah, no, so. I mean, you're right. That would be another example of that team that had to go up against, you know, that same rival, and until they finally got over the hump, they felt the pressure. But, you know.
Now, was it on here that I heard that you guys were talking about, like, you know, back in the draft where they, when we picked up Maroney, that I guess Bill Polian was like slamming on the desk or whatever because he was mad that we drafted him because that's the guy that they wanted.
Yes, that is the guy they wanted, and Manning told Brady that you stole my
running
back.
That's what it was. Manning had made the comment to Brady.
Well, we haven't.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Maroney has a big game that day because I mean, that would just be so ironic right there,
wouldn't it?
And Bill Polian will be slamming the desk all day long.
Well, we haven't talked about Bill Polian. We got to bring him up because he's in the news again. But, Scott, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Out in Tucson.
See you, Scott.
Getting up early, calling PFW in progress. Bill Polian in the news again because apparently in the Ravens press box, he was at it again. Not just himself, but he's with his son,
yes,
slamming the table, cursing the refs, and – actually, the PR director for the Ravens had to make an announcement, didn't mention Polian, but just reminding people of the decorum of the press box,
right,
because of him. He's an embarrassment. Then after the game, immediately saying that he called the competition committee to complain that in a game like that, when everyone's blitzing, you can't have them not making those calls downfield. And if you don't, that's why you don't have any touchdowns in the game.
What calls downfield? Illegal contact?
Yeah, illegal contact calls downfield with all that blitzing.
He's an embarrassment. The guy's a total embarrassment.
What is
but
his problem?
If they're blitzing,
I don't know.
Wouldn't that mean it's hot reads and you're going to short your patterns? So most of the patterns are going to be like in the 5-yard bump zone anyway?
Whatever. But that's what he's...
He's a whiner. He no matter what happens, he has
himself.
An excuse, a reason, a something. You know, they're winning and he's still... Stay classy, Indianapolis.
He's even, I guess he went on a local show. I was listening to, is it Bob Kravitz, the columnist from the Indianapolis Star? I was listening to him yesterday, and he was talking about Polian went on one of their local shows and was saying how well Peyton Manning played in the first two playoff games. Now, I don't care if you're the biggest Peyton Manning fan in the world, okay? You could make an argument that he played pretty well in the first game against Kansas City, even though he threw three picks.
A lot of yards.
I mean, when you go 30 for 38 for 300 whatever yards and a touchdown, It certainly looked like two of the picks anyway were communication issues. One of them was just a ridiculously bad throw. But you can't make an argument that he played really well against Baltimore. Now, you could make an excuse for him and say that Baltimore does that to everybody, but you can't make an argument that he played really well in that game. I'm sorry. Just like I don't think you can really make an argument that Brady played one of his best games on Sunday. Brady did what he does so many times.
Right.
He made the big plays when he had to.
Right.
That's why he's special. But he didn't play a great game for four quarters.
Right.
And I don't think you'd see people in New England trying to claim that he played a great game. And evidently, Bill Polian's trying to claim that Peyton Manning played great games in the playoffs.
Is he a former player at all?
I don't know.
Because he has that vibe to him, that like hothead, just speak first and ask questions later, and emotion. And
he's
and
an embarrassment.
He has that vibe. He's not the controlled executive type you really expect. Obviously, you read Pro Football Talk.
Yeah.
That was a big part of that. Did you happen to read the other piece about the Cleveland Browns getting into a pissing contest with the plain dealer or one of the papers?
Yep.
Did you read the response or portions of the response from the VP?
Yeah.
I thought that was laughable.
Well, why even get into that? You don't. First of all, you don't pick fights with people who buy ink by the barrel. Okay, you can't win that fight.
Right.
Did you see Stacey James doing that?
No, I can't see anybody. The only person I could see doing it was Paul. I told him that. It's like the guy got caught up in it.
He's taking his shots at me. It's unbelievable.
I mean, be careful what you wish for if you want a new owner. You might just get whatever. I mean, that was classless and not... I thought a PR guy was supposed to have like these like boring, drab, just like...
I'm a PR guy myself. I know that.
You know, the guy's hammered, and the PR guy goes, well, it was an unfortunate reaction to prescription medication.
That's what Monty Beisel would do if he was the PR
right.
director.
He was Monty Beisel doing PR.
Right.
He's the VP of communications for the Browns. I thought that was terrible.
Maybe it was Terrell Owens' publicist there.
She got fired, so she was looking for work.
I know.
Tom's here. Tom, who has more pressure in this game on them, the Colts or the Patriots?
Who has more pressure?
Yeah.
The Patriots.
Okay. Why?
Because they're supposed to win.
All right. Well, I disagree, but and most of our listeners
just
do.
So you know, I didn't say anything to Tom.
Oh, that's okay.
No, I just
and we all think the Patriots are going to win the game handily.
Yeah, I just think because
I think it has more to do with who's the better team.
But right. I think
the pressure is on the better team.
Past history indicates that I don't think too many people are going to give the Colts a chance facing Belichick and Brady. Let me tell you something. Not too many people are going to go against Belichick and Brady in an AFC championship.
Don't you think it's less what people think about the game and what the Colts think about themselves?
They're going to choke, no matter what.
The pressure is self-induced. No, it's not from what other people are saying. It's what they're saying about the
So then what the Patriots have been doing for the last 5 years is just a figment of my imagination. Everybody's picked against us. Nobody believes in us. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The Colts got that now.
I was going to say, that's what we talked about earlier. That's what Tony Dungy's selling his team this week. Everybody's saying you're playing like crap. You backed into this game. You don't deserve to be here, and you're going to get whooped.
And you know who else is saying it? Lovie Smith. They're not a person alive picking the Bears. Everyone thinks it's a foregone conclusion. It's New England. It's the Saints. Put them in the Super Bowl. There you go.
Some have already predicted the score to that game.
I think the Colts expect to win this game, and I think the pressure's on them.
Every team expects to win the game.
They expect to win.
Right.
But I'm just saying, in previous years, they were the favorites.
Right.
When they came to Foxborough, when they lost 20-3, they were a two-point favorite.
People thought they were going to win the game.
Everybody picked the Colts on ESPN because of all the
EFW in progress.
Well, they came in scoring 20 points a game.
Right. Yeah, Moreland was the quarterback. So they had all that pressure on them.
I agree with that. I do think that the Patriots are the consensus pick. I think they are the better team. I agree with that.
Yeah, just in case on the off chance they might lose, you don't want anybody to say the Patriots choked.
No, I think you guys are doing it so when the Patriots don't lose, you can say, they should have won. The pressure was on them.
Yeah, that'll teach me.
You know, but
the Manning definitely has pressure on him.
Yeah,
so does Dungy.
I'm not saying it's no pressure.
Self-imposed. He's nuts.
It's self-imposed.
But he has that every week. I said that. It's regular season, postseason. He clearly puts way too much pressure on himself.
I think somehow
I think it's actually lessened this week because he's played like crap.
I think you're envisioning us saying there's no pressure on Indianapolis. I'm not saying that at all.
You asked us who has more pressure.
Everybody has pressure.
I think there's more pressure on the team that most people think is going to win. There's pressure on that team to then go out and win.
I think most of the time you're right. I think in this case it's a little different because of the history. Because of the history.
But just suppose the Colts were a 7-point favorite and they were playing lights out. They were by far the best team in football.
I said last year.
The Patriots would eat that up with a spoon. You know, we have no chance. We can't beat this team. Now in that situation, you have absolutely no chance to beat the Patriots, as we saw last week. They love that role.
See, Fred, we're all in agreement. You're wrong.
So, okay. All right.
That
worked.
Like last year.
I still disagree.
The example I used was last year. If the Patriots had beaten Denver and Indy had beaten Pittsburgh and that AFC Championship game unfolded, the Colts would have been a prohibitive favorite.
Yeah.
And all of the pressure, all of it, would have been all over Indianapolis.
Exactly.
The Patriots would have been free and
easy. That's the difference. That's
we're
analogy.
Not supposed to be here. We're just happy to, you know. They still would have had all of that history in their favor.
I just think this is a unique situation because of the history of the Colts in their failures in the playoffs.
I just think it's hard to say there's more pressure on the team that's not supposed to win.
But
I just think it's hard to make that stretch.
With the Colts fans, Fred, like I was asking a couple of Patriots people at the gym because they said the Charger fans were really obnoxious, you know, on the message boards and everything. So I asked them, how are the Colts fans so far this week? And they said, they're nothing like the Charger fans. They're kind of restrained.
They're scared.
Because they know. You know what
they know what's going to happen.
They're afraid to talk because they know what happened the last few years.
When it's 24-3 midway through the second quarter, they're going to know what's going to happen.
They're feeling the pressure.
Plus, it's a different area of the
really
country.
Really expects a whooping, huh?
Midwest is different.
Yeah, the Midwest. I mean, Southern California is kind of cutting edge.
Well, they're
laid
back, too, though, right?
Yeah, no, but you're telling me
but
if the Colts don't win, those fans aren't going to get on the message boards and say, you know, you and F Tom Brady. And,
I don't know if they will do that as much.
That a call went against them or, you know, that we did something, you know, unsportsmanlike.
Colts fans hate
Polian
the Patriots.
Will be, but
they hate the Patriots.
I'm not going to pretend I've lived there, but I just get, you know, you see those, St. Louis Cardinals fans, how they're just sort of, we love baseball and yeah, we want the Cardinals to win, but we sort of like history and good stuff too. And there's not that rabid passion there, and I think you have more of that in Southern California than you do here. Southern California's laid back because they get to the game when they can if it's done surfing and doing all the other fun stuff they can do. I think it's different.
All right, let's get to some emails, but first, Jacksonville, you're on.
Hey guys, good afternoon.
Wade, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I thought the Patriots were a 3-point dog already in this
They are. But that's just because the Colts are playing at home.
And I defy you to find anybody who thinks the Colts are going to win the game.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I'm not looking past them. I think they have as good a shot as we do was looking
at. Wade, who do you think has more pressure, the Patriots or the Colts in this game?
I'm going to say the Pats.
Pats have more pressure. Okay.
We finally got someone who would agree with us.
Because they got to beat them. They're at home. And, you know, I mean, they got the weapons. You got to think that...
You mean the Colts have more pressure.
I don't know where their defense is coming from right now. That's what's scaring me. Where did all this come from? I mean, I can understand a little bit of the Kansas City game. But I didn't understand the Baltimore game. Truly didn't understand that performance. That really... kind of shocked me.
Well, I think it's a combination of, yes, they are playing a little better. They're all jacked up for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I also think the competition made them look a little better than they are. I think it's a combination.
I think it's all in the past. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Well, we agree with you. I agree with
they
Wayne.
They perform and say they're a better team now because everybody all year long has been saying, hey, you guys got nothing. Well, you went out and showed everybody you had something. You know, irregardless of how San Diego came, I just, yeah. But, and that was one of the things. You guys really thought Tom Brady didn't play a good game on
I think when he had to, he was brilliant.
Right. I thought
he
played
overall.
He had a great 2-minute drive at the end of the first half, and obviously made the great throw to Caldwell.
I mean, think about how would the game be if he didn't throw 3 interceptions. You know, it may not have had to be.
If he only threw 2 interceptions, the Chargers might have won.
Right.
Because that one was knocked down.
Right.
Okay, but...
But I also thought he missed a lot of wide-open guys.
Wait a minute now. When you have your running game taken away from you in what, the first 5 minutes or whatever it was?
Well, they clearly went into the game
themselves.
That was the game plan. That was the game plan. They came out in 5 wide.
Terrible game plan.
That was the game plan to not have a running game?
Yes.
Yeah, they didn't run the ball at all.
They didn't even try to run the ball. They came out.
Maroney had 5 carries.
They came out and spread the field and try to move the ball through the air.
Yep.
Well, but what I'm saying is they tried to run the ball and didn't have any success, so they made an adjustment.
I disagree.
Really.
They came out in the first 3 plays of the game. They had 5 wides. They didn't try to run the ball early in the game and fail. Every time they ran the ball, they failed. But I don't think they tried to establish running.
The Waters didn't see where they were going to go with that, so they went back to the passing game and said, okay.
They weren't doing a heck of a lot with the passing game, though, either. I mean,
I was going to say, when you throw for 280 yards on 51 attempts, I don't think that's a good output. Let's put it that way. I've seen Tom Brady much better.
Against that defense, I mean, I didn't really expect them to come away with no picks. Did anybody really think that they were going to
Well, their secondary sucks.
All I heard all week was how bad the secondary was.
Their linebackers, and they neutralized them. Brady barely got touched.
Right. So... All right. Well, I just didn't expect him to walk away with just passing all day long against San Diego, no matter what was going to go on.
Well, listen, nobody loves Tom Brady more than we do, but that wasn't one of his better playoff performances.
But he got it done in the end.
But as usual, and that's what I pointed out, when it really counts with Tom Brady, you can rely on him to make the good throws and the good decisions, and he won the game in the last 2 minutes of the first half, and then in the last 6 minutes of the game. With one throw in the last 6 minutes of the game to Rishay Caldwell was perfect.
It didn't seem to bother him that he threw the pick. He got back up and went back to work.
Right.
Said,
that's what he's all about.
That's why he's great.
That's what he's all about.
But against that particular team, you're going to go through the air. You're going to get picked wrong line. That's what they were known for. I mean, that good.
I mean, you'd expect
it.
Let's face it. If Troy Brown doesn't strip that ball out, what are we saying about Tom Brady's
He had a terrible game.
You're saying that's, again, this is the second example now. This is the only way we can lose in the playoffs is when Tom Brady doesn't play a Tom Brady game.
Right.
Right.
Because
it
happened in Denver, and then it happened in San Diego, except we got a reprieve here and got a second chance.
Right.
And
instead of
Tom Brady is
returning it to the 1-yard line, Brown stripped it out.
Perfect, Fred. Right.
That's the only difference.
Just like I think if they had called that play a touchback on the Champ Bailey, I have no doubt in my mind that Tom Brady is going to lead an 80-yard drive right back down
Absolutely.
The field.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, I just didn't think he had that bad of a game. I thought he did damn good for what he was presented with.
I'm not saying that he had a terrible game. Overstated. I just don't think it was one of his better performances.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 interceptions is 3 interceptions.
I thought it was great considering the environment.
He should have had about 6 interceptions. How many did the Chargers drop?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
wouldn't you agree
with that, Fred?
You got to be fair about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you got a couple back. The one that you got the fumble on, you got that one back.
Yeah.
But wasn't the one that got stripped the fourth down anyways? It was over with. I mean,
wasn't it a fourth down play?
So
but what happened is after
it,
the strip,
right?
The Patriots got the ball back first down.
Even if they didn't get it, even if they didn't strip it and get the ball back, was a fourth down play. It was going to be over on downs no matter what.
That's what I'm saying. But so
they got a first down.
Either way, it's going to be San Diego's ball. But now the Patriots got it back with a first down. That's
but
a huge.
Two picks were definitely his. I mean, he threw those two picks for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he threw them.
I was impressed with only two at this point. Yeah. I mean, I didn't really think they were.
All right, thanks, Wayne.
Kind of going around the
welcome
block
to line. Wayne Weekly here.
Fred, the reason why the Patriots have the pressure is because what we were all saying in the press box, this is the Super Bowl. They beat the best team in football already.
Right.
The Colts aren't the best team in football. The Chargers are.
I think it would be perceived to be a huge disappointment at this point if the Patriots didn't go to the Super Bowl.
Well, I would agree with that. I would be very disappointed.
So some pressure comes with that understanding, right?
Well,
because they're more well-equipped to handle the pressure than Indy,
right,
doesn't mean there's not more pressure on the Patriots.
But I'm not talking about what we think or what people think. I'm thinking about what the Colts think about themselves.
Dan Klecko feels as confident as ever.
But again, I'll restate what I just said. The Patriots are better equipped to handle the pressure than the Colts. The Colts may very well wilt under pressure. That doesn't mean there's not more pressure on the Patriots.
Okay.
I
think pressure is self-induced.
And I think there'll be a lot of pressure on the Patriots.
I don't think anyone...
They'll handle it because they have the best quarterback in football.
I don't think anyone can put pressure on you unless you let them.
God bless you.
What about your little theory about kidnapping wives and holding guns to them?
Well, you can do that. That puts pressure on you.
Oh, okay.
But short of that, pressure is what you put on yourself.
Okay, I agree. We'll just move on from the pressure thing.
Right.
We're going to agree to disagree. But just one thing last on Wayne's conversation. I don't necessarily think you expect Tom Brady to throw three picks against the Chargers defense. If you told me he got strip-sacked three times and got hit another time and that ball deflected in the air for an interception, that's what I would expect.
Well,
I thought he just didn't throw the ball very accurately.
Right, and if you told me before the game LT goes over 100 and has like almost 200 all-purpose yards and Brady throws three interceptions, my life goes
game
on San
match.
Diego. I'd
right.
bet my life on San Diego.
And we don't have Tom anymore.
And well, that's what I'm saying, because if LT is going to have that kind of game, you're figuring Brady has to put up a great game for the Patriots to win. He didn't, and they still won.
He put up a couple great plays.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's Brady, because, you know, that's Michael Jordan going
there's a lot of guys,
8 for 29
yeah, right.
shooting, but taking the shot with 1.1 on the clock to win.
And to talk about, this is what I'm saying, like the handling of the pressure. I think Brady had a tremendous amount of pressure on him.
We're talking about pressure anymore.
No, but what I'm saying is Brady, at the end of the game, shows that he can handle that.
Yes.
I don't think that you'll have the same feeling if you're watching that game in the press box. If Manning goes out and throws two interceptions in the first half,
right?
You might as well write the game story. It's over.
It's over.
There's no way he's going to
respond. Mine.
There's no way he's going to respond to that in the second half and put those mistakes
still
behind him.
Wrong.
No way.
Patriots buck Colts again.
All right.
Go buck yourself.
Webradio at Patriots.com. Justin wants to talk about what if Bill Belichick retires, who should Patriots get? I'm going to delete that email because...
Why?
Why are we talking about that right now?
Because if he wins the Super Bowl, maybe he decides to go out on top. 4-6.
Yeah, but...
Peace out.
Let's not talk about that right now. Let's talk about...
I thought we were an email-driven show and talked about what our emails
we
want to talk
about.
Peace out.
We have plenty of emails to go around, so...
Fred picks and chooses.
We'll talk
about that.
For Fred.
We'll talk about that after the season.
Sorry, Justin.
Let's see. Somebody says, this is somebody sending us a YouTube thing about somebody saying they're going to slap Tom Brady in the mouth.
Yes,
that was Merriman.
Sean Merriman.
We went over that yesterday.
Overblown. It was at a pep rally. Biggest problem there is why are they having pep rallies?
Yeah. Roosevelt Colvin hit it right on the head.
What's this, high school?
Well, we had a pep rally before every Super Bowl.
Yeah, but those are details that aren't really relevant.
No,
right
but
now,
I've heard of teams before Super Bowls having like a send-off.
It's a send-off party.
Yeah. You don't have a pep rally in your first playoff game when you're not going to the Super Bowl.
It was only a divisional game. That's true. Let's see. Hey, guys, stoked on the win over the Bolts. This is from R.J. Gibbs. Regardless of the manner in which it was done or the degree in which we were inferior coming into the game, I'm sick already of the LaDainian talk. Because Brady Belichick are the gigantic babies when they lose. I think Tom already said that about the Denver game last year. Did you guys see Belichick during the postgame conference? What was up with him turning the NFL microphone down? Someone had to come over and reposition it. I was slightly disturbed. Is he this big of a baby even when he wins?
See.
I didn't see that, so I don't know.
I didn't see that either, and I was in the room.
But I heard that he was very funny when he walked in. He said he wasn't going to...
this week? That was funny. Yeah, that was
wait,
was
are we
funny.
Saying he moved the microphone this year or last year?
This year, he's saying. He said even when he wins.
Oh, I couldn't see him. It was a terrible setup at a,
you know, in Bill's defense, it was a stadium. It was a really, really bad setup for the post game.
I was fine. I was sitting in a seat.
Shut up.
Row.
Shut. That's because all the Chargers media, for some reason, was covering the Patriots instead of their own team. But yes, Freddie, it was very funny. I ain't touching nobody.
Let's see. Chris in Mansfield, Ohio says, I have Life Aquatics DVD for free.
Oh,
tell Fred
God.
If he gives me money, $6.95 for shipping and handling, I'll mail it to him. Could end Bill Murray's career.
Terrible. I've never even seen it, and I just, the passion with which emailers have ripped that
there
movie.
There hasn't been one emailer who says that they've liked it.
Nope. I'll never see the movie, and I'm going to assume it's as bad as every emailer
I'm
gonna says
I'm going to watch
it.
I have to watch it now.
I think you'll like it.
I'm going to watch it.
I think you'll like it, Tom.
I'm going to laugh my ass off if he does like it.
This movie's phenomenal.
Chris in Greenwich, Connecticut. So Pittsburgh had the immaculate reception. Now we in New England have the immaculate interception. Doesn't quite have a glorious ring to it, but it makes up for it in a double take factor. Every team needs that smidgen of luck along the way to get to the Super Bowl, and that may have been it. Let's hope the luck hasn't run out yet.
Sure.
I think when it comes to Troy Brown, it's nothing to do with luck. It's his awareness. It's just, you know,
it's a great play.
He just knows what he's doing out there. He's so aware of what's going on because he's such a, you know, football player. I mean, he is a consummate football player.
In the National Football League.
He really is. Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. I brought my wife her Valentine's Day present this afternoon. Two tickets to the game this weekend. I sure hope you were all right and we get to see the Patriots win their way to the big game. Is that a present for you or for her?
So you'll be getting none for how long?
You're quite the romantic.
Ideally, the game will be tied at the end of regulation when Vinatieri either misses or has a field goal blocked. And then the ghost appears in overtime to hit the game winner. I made sure that our seats are the row directly in front of the press box so that I might fulfill a dream and catch a glimpse of our glorious Tom. Just kidding. I hope Belichick retires the red hoodie that he wore during the first Colts game. And you report how much talking Colvin does, but Hobbs is very cocky. But on one of the three games to glory, I recall Belichick telling some of the team, the offensive line, I think, to stop talking and play the game and do their job. Has he gone away from that mentality, or what are your thoughts on this?
To be honest with you, I have no idea what Bill Belichick instructs his players to do.
I remember seeing that clip.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he says that probably every game.
Probably
shut
every
up
game.
And play the
and
game.
And there's some guys who shut up, and then there's guys like Colvin who just keep talking.
Well, according to him, he doesn't talk.
Right.
He only responds.
Well, I mean, the Chargers are a mouthy team. There's no doubt
so
about it.
So are the Patriots. So are probably 28 of 38 teams.
I was just going to say that. I think
like
that's
three
just
teams that don't talk.
Right. I think that's the kind of the state of athletics today.
You know who the teams
that
don't talk? The Lions and teams that can't, that have nothing to talk about.
I don't say that in a negative way. I just think that's the way. That's the way the games are nowadays. You make a play and you
those
talk.
Those are your type of players, Paul. You like that.
I like guys with talent.
But you like guys
I particularly like
showboat.
Guys with talent.
You like showboats.
Deion Sanders never bothered me. Ellis Hobbs acting like Deion Sanders bothers me.
Okay. Gentlemen.
And I should say, though, you know, if you were a Patriots fan, my ideal situation would be to win 56-0 and have nothing to do with a field goal at the end of the game.
Right.
If I was a Patriots fan, I'd want as bad a beating
see,
as
Patriots
humanly possible.
Patriots fans, though, and it is a Boston thing in general. It's not enough to win. It's you have to have that humiliating factor for someone who left. Like Fred roots for injuries, some other guys.
Is that because they've been humiliated for so many years?
Probably. But that's part of the lore of the Boston fan is they have to have Adam Vinatieri miss the field goal, too. It's not enough to just win and beat him. He has to be responsible for you winning and beating him. Right, Fred? And
right.
You would just root for him to tear his ACL.
I wasn't listening, but I'll say okay.
You would just root for him to tear his ACL. That's the
I
way
root
you would
for injuries.
Him, right? Yes.
According to Paul.
You do.
You do.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you let it slip.
Okay. Let's see.
Oh, God! I skinned my pecker!
Webradio at Patriots.com.
It's Earl.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. PJ Naccarelli says, yo, guys, I was going through PFW in progress withdrawal. Which makes me a big-time loser.
That's true.
So I decided to go back and listen to your pick segment on Monday after the games were over. Fred went 7-1 straight up and against the spread, with his only loss being because he took the Bears to cover because Tom and Andy were pounding it into his head. Fred wanted to take the Seahawks, but they kept telling him that Seattle stinks until he finally said, give me the Bears both ways.
Well, that's Fred's fault.
Anyway,
I was going to say.
Anyway, Fred nailed each game with his expert analysis of I have a feeling. By the way, how many times did we see the Pats in Fred's version of the Delaware wing tee with Dylan and Maroney in the backfield?
Oh, yeah, you owe me money for that, by the way.
Do I? We would have won easier if we used his strategy of just flip the ball to Dylan over Merriman's head. Too bad Belichick wasn't listening. Anyway, what do you guys make of Peyton Manning's TD to interception ratio of 1-5 in the playoffs? Does it get any worse than that? And can we expect that to continue this week? Lastly, I hate Merriman's dance, especially when he doesn't even sack the quarterback, but I'm equally upset at Lawrence Maroney. I'm not sure if you guys caught this at the game, but on TV it was clear that after the Brady interception to Donnie Edwards, Maroney made the tackle, and he started high-stepping down the field. All year I've heard how explosive he is, and it is clear that Corey Dillon needs a three-minute head start to get through the hole, so there is an attitude adjustment. So is there an attitude adjustment needed for Maroney? Is that why he isn't carrying the ball more often? Later, guys, and all hail Fred, who won the regular season against the spread and is kicking some butt in the playoffs. PJ's back on my list.
Well, what are the playoff records?
He can come.
Are we all close?
He can.
No,
PJ
really.
Can come. PJ can come and have a tour anytime. Just let me know.
Fred is 8-0. Tom is 7-1. Andy and me are 6-2.
That's not close.
He's 6-2 with the spread. You're 3-5. No, so I don't think that's close.
No, not with the spread, but overall.
Yeah, but the spread is what separates the men from the boys.
I thought you were the tout.
I'm 4-4. I'm in second place to Fred at 4-4. I'm two games behind. Andy, you're doing a really good job at 1-7.
So now we're so now the spread gamble. is the more important one.
Well, it always has been.
I think we combined. Don't we can kind of combine them a little bit? He's winning in both. I mean, I don't really think there's anything we can say. I have to sit here and bow to Fred.
I do too, but he's only beating me by one game. What if he loses three games in a row?
And that's not even considering that you don't even pick what you think. So
I'm 7-1.
I don't even want to get into that.
I'm 7-1. 7-1.
You won a game that you didn't really pick right. So
he's mad because the Patriots won, Fred. These guys are never happy, you know?
We pick what we think.
I happen to pick what I think instead of, you know, what I think the fans want to hear.
I believe my analysis was it would be a close game, and Philip Rivers might make a mistake here or there towards the end, and Brady would pull him out. Seems like that's what happened.
What was the mistake that Rivers made that allowed the Patriots to pull it out?
That interception of Colvin, that was a big play.
In the third quarter.
Yeah, but that could have been a big play to LT down the sideline.
That was a great play by Colvin, by the way.
Yes, it was, but it also was well defended because Hawkins was right there.
He said he's the new Derrick Brooks.
He looked like Willie Mays.
That play was going nowhere.
You don't think so? No.
Hawkins was right there.
Yeah, I think LT could shake Hawkins any day of the week.
I don't think he would have had time to shake him.
Well, the ball was up in the air so long.
Right.
I think you're right.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever?
Russell says, spirited show yesterday. Tom, sorry about the cold weather. I figure must have worked up a sweat chasing some hot chick tail in the gas lamp district. One last word on the Chargers game. Don't you think the Patriots' struggle on offense had to do – Andy just hit himself in the head with the microphone. Anyway.
Well, how could you miss it?
Yeah, Fred, did you hear that email yesterday? Some Irish guy took an unfair shot at me.
I don't think anything anyone that's Irish says about you is unfair after what I've heard
told
you say.
Told me I
about
have
them.
A massive head on a tiny body.
Well, that's
call
true.
Me on Patriots Today.
That's true.
The wee little body.
Yeah, you look like one of those lollipops.
And he actually started the email saying he didn't hate me like he thought he should for making fun of his country. And I thought it was going to be a good email, or maybe he was the one sober guy in the entire island of Ireland. But then he just showed himself up to be a drunk watching Patriots Today.
Let's see. Anyway, Russell says one last word. He thinks a lot of the struggle on offense has to do with the fact that they began most of their first half drives inside their own 10. I think it's important for the Patriots to shut down Dallas Clark and Wayne's seam routes. I think they can control the run to the edge against Indy as their backs aren't Tomlinson. And to all those who call the Patriots lucky, may I mention the immaculate reception, the holy roller, and stabilist pass against the Dolphins while being tackled for a TD. Why are those skilled in Patriots luck?
Those were all lucky.
Well, yeah, they
screw
were all
the
lucky.
National media. I say if the Patriots had won the Super Bowl in 76 like they should have, but for Ben Rice phantom roughing the passer call, they would be in that legend class because any team that won in the 70s and early 80s before the massive proliferation of cable and satellite TV and 24-hour sports stations are Dallas, Oakland, Kansas City, and Miami. Any team with John Facenda doing their championship review is held a notch above today. And any
boy,
time,
Russell, you're way off on this email.
And any time they return to contention, they are fawned over because of this glorious past.
Hey, Russell, why don't you check the Hall of Fame and see how many Steelers are in it? And then tell me how many Patriots will make it. That Steelers team was so freaking good, it's not even funny. I mean, the Cowboys teams that they beat were great, and they beat them twice in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
All of those plays, by the way, were not
lucky.
Not on Super
and
Bowl
teams.
And
he forgot to mention the catch, which was a lucky play. Don't listen to Montana. He's throwing that ball out of the end zone. We all knew he was.
Well, at least that was a Super Bowl. The other ones, all none of them led to Super Bowls. They were all... Well, the Holy Roller was a regular season game.
Are you comparing... Listen, the Immaculate Reception is the luckiest play in the history of sports.
You find anybody... Oh,
way luckier than Troy Brown's play.
Absolutely. Yeah, Franco Harris just standing around.
You find anybody... Plus, it may have been illegal at the time. Now it would be legal, but at the time it may have been illegal because it might have been two offensive players touching the ball at the same... You know, whatever. And no one would say that wasn't a lucky play.
And there's no question in my mind that the Steelers are the greatest team ever assembled in our... since we've been watching football. I mean, you look at all the players they had that are in the Hall of Fame, how good they were. Paul and I always talk about the year they didn't go to the Super Bowl where they shut out like five or six teams and went 10-6 with that defense. That's not even close. They destroy the Patriots. They destroy them.
Speaking of Hall of Fame, Paul has to go do his radio show.
But if they were playing tomorrow, Tom would pick the Patriots.
The Patriots. Depends where it is.
They're killing
you, Depends
Tom.
Where
it is. Don't let them get you like that.
They're mad because, you know, I had a winner, and they're mad because their team choked.
Right.
You know, playing the choke is part of the game.
That's right.
We're playing the choke this week with Manning.
What team can handle the pressure better? Josh in Jacksonville says, I just wanted to say that if the Pats lose Sunday against the Colts, this would have been one great year. The Pats have accomplished so much in this year with all the uncertainties at wide receiver, defensive back, strong safety, and linebacker. How many people thought the Pats would make it this far? I don't want to sound like I'm thinking the Colts are going to beat the Pats. They shouldn't. But it seems way too fitting to see the Colts and the Saints in the Super Bowl. I will say, though, I want the Pats to kill the Colts just so we can all listen to you guys on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Keep up the good work. Also, what are some key things the Pats need to do in order to make reservations in Miami?
Pick up the phone.
Tom thinks it's a done deal.
Everybody does. That's what you don't get. Everybody does. And that's also why, if they lose, I don't think it's a success. Because if they're playing the Ravens this week or the Chargers this week in the title game, I'd say, okay, you can lose this. But you can't lose this game now. You are in the Super Bowl. You're there. I don't care about all the stuff that came before. I agree. This is a good season, more than I expected. But now it's right there. That apple's dangling in front of you. You gotta grab it.
One of our emailers just sent me a picture reminding us of the Dynasty cover we had on the field at the light. We'll have to think of
a way
to get something down there because that's not easy. Take some sneakiness.
I say we got no shot.
All right, let's take a break, us. Gary. We'll be right back.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
How are you? Please sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4-FORD-10. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I like that, Fred, stuff.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Lightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
No.
I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
No, being serious, I watched the show back, and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choice of song. You can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable. I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in Progress.
There's nothing much you can do. And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
Screw you, Simon. We'll keep doing it as long as the Patriots keep winning. Did you guys watch American Idol?
Yeah, it was terrible.
It wasn't that good.
No, I think this might be the year where the ratings start to decline. First of all, they got to get Paula Abdul off TV. I mean,
was her problem?
It's getting worse. She's on drugs. She's drunk. She said, "I'm sick." How many weeks are you going to go on there?
Well, she did sound like she was sick.
Yeah. It's called cocaine.
Well, you think everyone's on cocaine.
No, I don't. I think two people are on cocaine.
But, yeah, she's got to get off there, and I think that's going to be the big surprise. That's why they brought Jewel in. It's because they're going to kick her off mid-season.
Jewel, the singer?
Yeah, she's on the panel now.
Yeah, but there's four of them?
Yeah.
You know, when you're up for
all the time?
And she's nude during the whole show.
She's got big kazungas.
But, Fred, when you're up for two straight nights doing drugs, you sound like you're sick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Is that what she's doing? Is that what they're saying?
She's on something. Have you ever seen her in an interview or just on the show? She's all loopy. And,
right.
Like last night, she could barely keep her eyes open.
And
so why do they keep her on there?
Because I think they don't. It's the show is so popular.
Don't
right
screw
now.
It up.
It's so popular that they're afraid if they make one little move, it could hurt it.
Yeah.
That's why the ratings went too long with the big three.
Yeah. It's you don't want to screw with anything because it's by far the number one show on television. So they figure. I mean, listen, you know she had an affair with that one kid. You know she did.
Oh, she did.
You know she did.
You know what I like about Simon, though? He's playing all those clips. I've noticed they've been playing a lot of clips of him on their commercials saying that the guy who won last year would never make
right,
it to the final seven. America's
right.
never going to vote you in. And
right.
the guy wins it.
Yep.
That's classic.
Well, it actually came down to he said no. Paulo said yes. And Randy was on the fence. And he went.
He said dog.
And he was going, all right, let's see if you can put
Simon. I know we're going to get yelled at for talking about American Idol, but there's a new movie out called Dreamgirls, and one of the leading parts was an American
Jennifer
Idol.
Hudson.
That's another one that Simon said would never, ever make it anywhere ever. He actually went on Oprah and apologized to her face, saying that, you know, I was wrong.
Well, that's part of his
shtick.
His shtick.
It's Tom like Casale. Picking the draft. You just don't
know. You don't know. You don't know.
It's an inexact science.
You pick seven underdogs, and then you keep reminding people one of them was Oliver Hoyt.
Phil from Stafford Springs, getting back to the emails here, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Paul is gone. He's gone to the big show.
We lost one of the fat men, and we're running lean.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Who's the other fat man? Fred, right? Oh, okay.
Fred's not usually down here when I say
it. Yeah, but I'm not done doing your review, Tom. So,
Neither is Tom doing his.
No, I got it.
Every day he's adding something else to that.
I got it. It clogged up my email box yesterday.
Well, no, it's like Festivus. It's the, you know, it's
the airing of grievances.
I know nothing's going to change, but it feels better to get it off your chest. Now I'm all, you know.
Right.
I go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
There you go. I've done my duty.
Phil from Stafford Springs, yesterday I was listening to your show and could not believe they replayed the Colts-Pats game in November, and three things stood out to me that really hurt us. One, the turnovers, three interceptions, one fumble. The fumble was bad because it led to a quick score. Two, Asante Samuel's coverage on Wayne. He gave him too much cushion. Manning was immediately looking in his direction and connecting. We had them three or four times, probably more, I quit counting, on third and long, and he always threw to Wayne to keep drives alive. Three, kickoff coverage sucked. Wilkins kept giving Colts the short field on returns. Lucky he fumbled once on the Pats side, otherwise the score might have been higher. In case you want to watch it again, they're playing it again this week. Oh, by the way, first TD Harrison scored on Hobbs was bad. The other, the bastard pushed Hobbs off and did not get called. Hobbs did not do a bad job. Hobbs, grade B. Samuels, D-.
No, I agree with that. I thought when Hobbs came in, that was when Chad Scott got injured, right? And Hobbs had to come in on Harrison, and we started laughing up in the press box. But he's right. Hobbs didn't do a bad job. But he brings up a good point with Samuel. Samuel got abused in that game, okay?
Yep.
Now, if he gets abused this week and the Patriots lose, why am I paying him $15 million so he can cover guys on the Lions?
Good.
And that's
what the Patriots
will be telling him right after the game.
Well, this is a big game for him, I think.
No question.
I know he's had a good season, but you can't keep getting abused by the best receivers and then say, give me $20 million.
That's right.
Right. But
that's right.
I also think he's playing better now, and his confidence seems to have gone through the roof since
then. Yeah. No, I think he'll do it.
I think there is definitely a time in most players' career where they just get it. And I think Samuel's happened this year.
And oftentimes it is right around contract and your fourth year. Everything kind of comes together all at once.
Yep.
But we were watching the Baltimore game when you guys were at that stinking zoo, and Samari Roll was playing way off.
You weren't there. You didn't see the orangutan stick his finger up the other orangutan's butt.
But yeah, I was watching football, you know, my job, and that's why I can say this to the listeners, and you guys are talking about people sticking fingers up animals' butts.
More entertaining.
Samari Roll was playing way off, Wayne, right early on in the game, and I said to Paul, I said, that's no good. I said, they're just going to keep doing that. Three plays in a row, boom, boom, boom to Wayne. Then they move Roll up in his face. I got to give the Ravens credit. They made a quick adjustment on it. But he's right. If you play off Wayne, Manning recognizes that every time. You got to play up. If you give those guys cushion, it's over.
Yeah. Let's see. TG and NJ says, here's an excerpt from Aaron Wilson of the Carroll County Times.
What the hell's that?
Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he has press box behavior. Colts president Bill Polian and his son Chris Polian, the team's vice president of football operations, regularly cursed officials' calls and pounded the table in anger, and they openly celebrated successful plays in a breach of press box guidelines. Cheering in the press box isn't allowed in the NFL, but it goes on. At one point, Ravens team spokesman Kevin Byrne made an announcement referencing complaints about the lack of decorum without naming names. And then there is this from profootball.com. An item on the team's official website contains a quote from Polian attributing the touchdown list game between the Colts and Ravens to the failure of the officials to throw flags on the Baltimore defensive backs. Polian is complaining that the officials allowed the same kind of receiver manhandling in the secondary that prompted Polian to cry to the competition committee after a loss to the Patriots in the playoffs a few years back, resulting in a renewed emphasis on the illegal contact rules. Because without that renewed emphasis, Polian knows that he's more likely to be watching guys like Ellis Hobbs do the Colts make it rain tip pass celebration thing on Indy's home field after the game ends. Guys, what the F is Bill Polian's problem? Can you explain what is going on here? Why does he have such an influence over the NFL?
Listen, I don't know what's going on in those press boxes. So, Andy, you're a member of some kind of association. There should be some kind of complaints for this. You can't be in a press box like that in a huge game with Raven personnel in the same press box, cheering, slamming, right, swearing. That's unacceptable. He should be thrown out. Anybody else gets thrown out. And
well,
I don't care
who
he
is. Not Mike Tannenbaum, who does the same exact thing.
Well, I'm talking about a reporter, right, or someone, right, like us would get thrown out for doing that. Can you imagine if Fred got up when Samuel picked that pass off against the Jets and started going crazy?
Right.
We'd be getting emails, phone calls, everything about it. It's
Stacey
crap.
Stacey James are very disappointed in you.
Yes. it's crap. He should be ashamed of himself.
People are probably afraid of him.
Finally,
you know, he roughed people up in the past.
TG says, what the hell is going on in the NFL today? From Napoleon to LT, the league is full of whiners. Shut the hell up. Get the TV crews off the field, away from the bench, and let the players smash it up. The pickup football games we used to have in high school had more grit than today's NFL product.
Well, that's not fair to compare LT and Bill Polian. Bill Polian is a well-known buffoon.
Sure.
LT is not.
Well, he's classy. He'll tell you.
He is classy.
I got to hand
classier
it to Deion
than Bill
Sanders.
Polian.
I got to hand it to Deion Sanders.
He must have said something good about the Patriots.
No, he says, look, I got to coach up LT for a second here. He goes, you're classy when other people tell you you're classy, not when you tell people you're classy.
Well, that's true. But
it is.
I like Deion.
LT
got to hand it to Deion for saying that.
LT is classy.
I told you, NFL Network, that's where it's at. That's the best analysis there is.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, the NFL Network's good.
I thought it was PFW in progress.
No, I mean, like, it's better than ESPN because they give their opinions more than ESPN, who gives you, you know, who just says, the Colts, they got 35 teams in the Super Bowl. I'm sure they got all four teams winning this week.
Right.
So the network controlled by the NFL is more open mouth.
Oh, they have to be.
Than the larger media. Yeah. It reminds me of New England, where PFW in progress is more open mouth, and the Boston Globe is a house organ. Oh, just interesting.
No comment.
That's right. You're not allowed to talk about those things.
Webradio@patriots.com is email address. Chet says, I was listening to your show this morning and just wanted to give my 2 cents worth on the San Diego game dance in class issue. First, LT was so upset about the dance by the Patriots at the end of the game, saying the Chargers would never do that because it's classless and not respectful. But LT also said that Merriman was known for the lights out dance. That being said, doesn't that mean that Merriman has done this before a number of times, apparently, if he's known for it? I hate dumbasses. Second,
Wait a minute. See, the issue they have, though, is, and I can sort of understand it, I think it's all much ado about nothing. It's an annoying topic. But I think what LT's saying is, do your dance. Celebrate your victory. Don't mock us and taunt us.
Yeah.
If you have a dance, right, do it. But otherwise, don't do ours.
So when San Diego ended the Patriots' 21 game streak and had all those comments about F the Patriots in their record, F that team, well, right, that was okay?
No, it wasn't. And
that
I should,
wasn't classy.
And I should say something, Fred. Sean Phillips did point to the Patriots sidelines and do the Roosevelt Colvin punt on a fourth.
Well,
So you know how Colvin always does the punt?
These guys remember.
And Phillips did the same thing.
Patriots don't start this stuff. They just end it.
I just wish LT.
Oh, yeah, they never started.
I wish LT wasn't involved with this because I still think he's a great player and a classy guy. And I think a lot of it boils over to, you know, like when you get home from work sometimes, Fred, and you're just mad about your day and everything, and your wife does nothing wrong, and you take it out on her for no reason. Have you ever done that?
I've never done that.
Well,
I'm scared of his wife.
Well, it's not about her. It's just that you've got things. But I think he is so mad.
I think they were in shock.
But that they lost that game, I think he's mad at his coach. I think he's mad at his you know, just other Eric Parker.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's mad at so many things, and he kind of is taking it out. And I just wish he wasn't part of it, because I agree with you. The Chargers in general, it's hard to defend them,
yeah.
You know, in general, but I wish right. he wasn't in the mix.
Second, I don't understand how analysts and all these different football personalities can sit there before the Pats-San Diego game and say that San Diego is the best team in the NFL, and then after the Pats win, pick Indy to win over the Pats.
Who?
Explain something to me, please. Yeah, who's
picking Indy?
I don't know who is picking Indy.
I need names on this because I want to see. I'm counting this week. I'm counting how many people pick Indy. So far, I got none.
If San Diego was the best team in the NFL and the Patriots beat them, doesn't that make the Patriots the new best team in the NFL?
Well, not necessarily.
How can these idiots say one thing and then turn around and say the Colts will win against the team that knocked off the number one team
Ooh,
in the league?
Well, but it doesn't work that way. Just
no,
you can't play that game.
Stuff. Yeah, it's...
So the Denver Broncos are the best team in the history of football over the last 5 years, except they have no Super Bowls and the Patriots do because they whoop the Patriots every time they play them.
Yeah,
you can't play that matchup game.
But I do agree that the Patriots are better. I just think it's because the Colts stink. But I want to know, people, you can't email in this week and tell us that everybody's picking. I want names. I want specific names. I want where they're from because I'm not buying this for a second.
I've already
seen everybody on the Patriots bandwagon.
The only guy that I've seen as close is Chris Collins, host of Patriots.
Yeah.
21-20 Patriots.
Well, you know. At least he's picking the Patriots.
Yeah, that's what I said to Andy. I'm just surprised he picked the Patriots.
Alti in Canada says Casale for Prime Minister. He says
that's how this guy gets red now.
great job, and what an emotional roller coaster last week's game was. Just awesome. Please tell me Rodney's going to play.
Well, I'm not going to tell you he's going to play because I don't know, and I still believe the Jim Trotter report saying he has a partially torn ACL. But he did walk through the locker room today from the training room to the weight room. And I haven't been seeing him lately.
So calculated move.
He walked through, and his chair was pulled out in front of his locker, and lying in front of his chair was a Patriots special teams report for the Patriots-Colts game, you know, given out to all the special teams players. Now, whether that's there for him to study because he's going to play, whether that's there to make it look like he's going to play, you know, we'll find out today at 4 o'clock. They could upgrade him. Is it just a big smokescreen to try to play a little game? I don't know.
Colvin mentioned him today, too, when he said, I like the guys I'm going to battle with this week. And he mentioned names, and he mentioned Rodney Harrison. Then he kind of caught himself, and he said, well, you know what I said.
So,
I love it.
I actually don't think he's going to play.
But I think
there's no chance.
But I do think he's going to be upgraded.
I think you're right.
I think
they're
going to
play with
it.
There's no reason not to play with it,
yeah.
Right?
I know there's a lot of Asante talk, but I truly believe losing him will be very damaging to the team. Not to say he is as great as a lot of people think he is, but rather the void in the secondary from not having him would be huge. Couldn't they give him big money for a 3-year contract until they can draft and groom replacements? I also heard he's going to be really pissed if he is franchised. Do you know if the Pats are considering it or if his anger from this will be a problem?
Yes and yes.
Well, the problem is, too, is he doesn't want a 3-year contract. You can't just make him sign.
He probably
wants a 5-year contract.
He's a free agent, right?
Actually, all he wants is that first check you're going to hand him to be as big as frickin' possible.
Tied game, time left, 1:15. Vinatieri kicks a field goal, misses it. Brady drives the team up the field and sets up a Gostkowski to kick and make the win. Does it get any better?
What if they both miss?
But is it going to be another 25-yarder for Gostkowski where Brady does all the work, or is it going to be a 50-yarder
when Vinatieri did all the work in the snow?
It'll be just as sweet.
Uphill in the snow, down
a
cold funnel.
That would be so sweet. I would be
like it when he gets giddy over here.
But, Fred, will you admit?
That's better than getting a Daisy Bread Ryder BB gun.
Fred, will you admit if the greatest kicker ever – in a place where he's never missed a field goal, this is a game-winning kick, then there's something else to this Patriot.
Deal with the devil.
I don't know if it's the devil. I don't know if it's God. I don't know who it is, but there's someone else working at this because that would just be amazing. The guy's never missed a kick there in his life, ever. And he missed 3 kicks this year, and 2 of them were against the Patriots. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Mike says, I thought you guys might find this story funny. After the game, drunk Uncle Vern calls me up and says, congratulations, the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl now. I asked him why he thought that, and his extremely wise reply was, hey, man, they weren't supposed to win that game, and now they're just playing with mustache money. It's destiny. I decided not to ask what the hell that meant, but for some reason it made me feel confident he was right. While I appreciate my uncle's expert analysis, I do have some worries with playing the Colts.
I just fear that Manning cannot possibly play that bad three games in a row. And with Indy's defense playing with more confidence, I am a little nervous that the Patriots will fall into the same trap that KC and Baltimore did when they tried to run it up the gut and had a couple quick three and outs. What do you guys think are the keys to the Patriots winning this game besides mustache money, of course?
I actually don't think Manning's going to play that badly.
Well, here's what will happen. You're right. He won't play three games in a row like that, but neither will their defense. So Manning will have a great game, but they'll give up a bunch of points.
I think he's going to have a good game, but they kick field goals in the red zone instead of scoring touchdowns like they did last time, and the Patriots pull away at the end. I like it like 31-20, but I don't think you're going to see like a 112-yard performance from Manning. I think he's going to put up some numbers.
I think that guy treats his uncle's expert analysis the way we treat Fred Kirsch's expert analysis. We smile, nod, and move on.
Well, who's he's winning the picks contest?
Yeah, because you go, I got a feeling. Well, that's exactly why we say, and his uncle might be right. They're probably going to win the Super Bowl. It's got nothing to do with his mustache money and whatever the hell that means.
You can't be right that often.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
I got to admit, Fred, he won the regular season. He's owning the playoffs. It's hard to get on his case. I could see if he won the regular season, now he was tanking and he went back to normal.
All this proves is he got in with Bill and the pact with the devil. He's
see, what you guys don't understand is I've been doing this longer than you and you. So
doing what?
Picking games.
I got a feeling.
Picking games.
Did you finish in last year?
No.
Yes.
You did.
No. You finished in
you
last
did.
Every
we
year.
We weren't
in the
doing
last
the
five.
Spread last year. I mailed it in last year, Tom. Half the time I wasn't even here for the show.
Where's your wife like to go out to dinner?
Why?
Just tell me where.
Anywhere that you know.
What's her favorite place?
Abe and Louie's.
Okay. You beat me next year, you and her go to Abe and Louie's.
You still haven't paid me the sandwich you owe me from this year.
You want
year.
A sandwich? I'll get you a sandwich. You beat me next
this
year.
This just turned into Goodfellas. You want a call sandwich? Zoe. I'll get you a sandwich.
We'll call Zoe.
You mark this down, Gary. He beats me next year in the picks contest with the spread. I'm not talking about the
with the spread.
His wife, him and his wife
okay,
go to
so
Abe.
Okay, so outright doesn't matter.
Forget
no, about
I always suck at that anyway. I'm talking with the spread.
Okay.
If you beat me, you and your wife, Abe and Louie's on me.
And I'll do the same for you if you want.
That's
you don't
deal.
Like to go out, but I'll do it if you
I'll
know.
Pick a different restaurant because
okay.
I don't know what that is.
All right.
That's the deal. Next year.
Okay. You're on. You're on. I got no problems with that.
Okay.
You're going to get killed, Fred.
Why?
You've had your luck.
I'm taking it serious now. Now it's
personal. Oh, this year he wasn't.
I didn't even know the games half the time.
You had your lucky year, Fred. Should have made that bet last year.
All right.
I take my hat off to you this year. You won. I'm just saying next year it's my year.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Craig from Boxborough. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Marvin Harrison this weekend. I think he is the second most important player on the field for the Colts besides Manning. Over the last couple of games, he's killed the Pats. I know that the cushion they give him is the way they play safe and respect his talent, but I don't think that will work this weekend. Since the departure of Law, they haven't played well against him. They need to be more physical with him because, from what I gather, he doesn't like that. So what if they get called for illegal contact a couple times as long as they establish that physicality? Samuel has the potential to impress the teams who are interested in him if he can keep up with one of the league's elite receivers and maybe even convince the Patriots that he's worth the money he's asking for. P.S. Casale for president, Gilligan for village idiot.
Well, the last game, Samuel wasn't on him much, was he? He was
no,
on Wayne
was on
most
Wayne.
Of the time. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. Because I think the physical thing, I think, works better with Harrison than Wayne. I think Wayne does a better job of getting off jams and pushing receivers around because he's a little bit bigger. I think you can get physical with Harrison, but Samuel's the more physical corner than Hobbs is, so that's going to be interesting to see how that all matches up.
And it's also interesting how much you're willing to risk it. And if you can't keep him at the line, how much confidence do you have in Sanders and Hawkins over the top, or are you just giving up big plays when you
You don't want to give up big plays against the Colts.
Well,
you want to make them work it.
The other
if you
thing
give
that
up
hurts
big plays,
is,
don't show up.
The other thing that hurts in that worked in the past with Harrison was healthy. He would line up as a cornerback,
right.
Knock the guy off
knock
the roof,
off.
And hand him off to
right.
The cornerback, and then play run
and
or
I
short
was just
going to
say that, Fred. I think you're going to see more of that this week with Sanders knocking guys around up there because he's kind of a liability against the Colts in coverage. But
yeah.
I think closer to the line, doing what you said Harrison did,
yeah.
I think he can be effective at that.
Matt from Quincy says, I saw you guys last night on Neckin. All I could think was, I know they just got back from San Diego, but boy, they could use some sun.
Oh, we look terrible.
Good show, though. Archie sucks, Eli sucks, and Peyton sucks. So saith Casale. Great stuff. Anyway,
we looked bad.
You didn't look any bad than we did the week
before.
I'm
just saying that you can tell it's the end of the year.
We always look bad.
Well, we don't.
We need makeup.
I'm saying if you go back to week one, we look much better than we do now.
We laugh at guys that put the makeup on for TV, but you really do need it with those lights.
But they don't have it there.
I know. We don't get any.
It's a second-rate network. We have to get it on Comcast Channel 3. They would spend 15 minutes making you look good.
I think we have to write that in next year.
That's part of our
content. We must have makeup.
Makeup person. We need it.
Anyway, I'm a little concerned about Daniel Graham's contract situation. All things considered, he is still the best all-around tight end on the team. I agree with that, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm starting to think we have seen the best of Ben Watson. He obviously...
Boy, Ben's taken a beating, huh?
Yeah, well... He's
been the whipping boy in emails and everything this week. A lot of people down on him.
He's not a bust. He's obviously a great talent, but he often doesn't seem to be on the same page as Brady. I'm not sure what kind of routes he runs, but while he's fast, his footwork isn't great.
Wait a minute now. He was wide open,
right,
and Brady missed him. I'm not blaming that one on him.
No. Seems he loses his balance often when catching the ball. His hands are suspect, he's not a great blocker, and you can't trust him to secure the ball. I'm hoping his lasting legacy will not be chasing down a cornerback who ended up scoring anyway. While not spectacular, Graham, on the other hand, is solid, reliable, and a great, not just good, blocker. I just trust him a lot more, and he seems to be much more in sync with Brady. I think we will not truly appreciate his value until he's gone. Bottom line, Graham should be a priority this offseason. I fear he won't be.
Well, someone has to be.
Well, I think he will be, and I think Graham's coming back here.
Yeah, but I do too, because you keep saying that.
It's not.
He's saying it because they made him a captain.
It's not too long ago, though, that we were saying how Graham could make the easy catch.
Well, neither guy has great hands. The issue is, this year, Watson's been given far more opportunities than Graham, but Graham has made plays in his more limited opportunities to catch the ball. I don't think either guy is ever going to be surefire. He catches it. He fights for the
right.
Perfect. But Graham has been by far the better all-around player.
Yeah, he's made the most of his opportunities.
Goes back to my theory that you don't draft tight ends in the first round, especially two of them.
Joey Feep writes in.
Hey, Joey Feep.
I listen to your broadcast with interest every day for the analysis and comic relief you and the writers provide. Andy needs to make peace with Ireland before they hire a Mick Goon squad to silence him. About the Bolts game, I think hit it on the head in his comments yesterday. I don't know who said that. The score should have been Chargers 35, Pats 13. If McCree simply hits the ground with his INT, the Chargers would have driven the field via LT and probably put the game away with the TD making it 28-13. With less than 5 or 6 minutes remaining, the Pats are in panic mode to try and score, and thus a turnover score is very likely, a la Samuel versus the Jets a week before.
That's what I said.
35-13, and it looks like a blowout when both teams were very close late in the game. Naturally, I'm thrilled it didn't go that way. We have a shot at another Super Bowl. Just saying, Andy's analysis was right on the money.
Joe, you're the best.
Gary, you still rule. Tom, you're still a douchebag. Fred, still the best homer around. Paul, the voice of reason.
Let's see, Joey, but I knew you were listening the whole time because you can't wait to see what I say next. You were just sitting in the weeds listening every day, like I said. So from last draft to now, I was right once again.
Brad Hughes from St. John, New Brunswick. I think there is pressure on both teams, but more so on the Colts, mainly because they haven't been there while the Pats have. The track record shows that the Pats can handle the pressure while the Colts
can't.
The AFC
Championship, because they have.
Also, the Pats are peaking while the Colts are fading, having peaked in October. Didn't they start 10-0? P.S. Aren't the Colts favored by 3? Someone believes they're better.
That doesn't mean anything.
Home field.
Listen, people, you got to stop looking at the lines if you don't know anything about gambling. They set the line to get equal amount of bets on each side. That's why casinos have a lot of money, and Tom Casale doesn't, because they know how to set lines right. That is an even game. It's a 3-point spread. That means it's a completely even game.
Well,
if it was played in New England, New England would be favored by 3.
Let's see. Ken Baldwin says, I believe the pressure is going to be on the Colts. I live here in Indy area, and the Colts, Peyton, ownership, and their coach have been trying to convince themselves that they've been able to win games through different ways throughout the year. In addition,
Even their local newspaper writers keep trying to convince themselves that their team has been able to win either through the offense, defense, or special teams doing well. That they are like the Steelers of last year, having done poorly at one point in the year, and they are getting on a roll for the playoffs. I remember writing an email to you guys last year at this time in the Colts, and the local press kept saying that this was the year that they would make it to the Super Bowl because they had home field advantage. Note, I've taped a lot of sports shows in Indy this week, and the Colts team is very confident, and they think they're going to win. Half the offensive line was on Sunday night saying that they were confident in the defense and Peyton. Gary Brackett was on ESPN the other day and said that Peyton would light up because he had two bad performances and would not have a third. They are confident, but watch. If the game is close in the third or fourth quarter, I think they will have the look on their faces like the San Diego coaches and players looked at the five-minute mark on Sunday.
I agree, but I don't see anything wrong with what anybody said. I mean, what do you want them to say? Well, we can't win.
Sure. They should be confident.
If you're an NFL player and you're in a championship game and you're not confident, you probably shouldn't be out on the field. I'm pretty sure Teddy Bruschi's confident.
Let's see. Tony, who's a Marine, says, listens to your show on the internet a lot. I just wanted to say I watched the first Pat Super Bowl win in Afghanistan, and I was the only fan out there, the second in North Carolina, and I was the only fan there, and the last one in Houston, which was played in Houston against North Carolina. And I was the only fan there. Against NC? I don't know.
He means Carolina, I think.
Yeah. Well, this year I'm excited because the majority of my friends have now been converted and are ready to see the Patriots win with me. Well, good luck out there. Be safe.
Man, you've been out there that long? That sucks.
Yep.
Jeez.
Let's see. Phil says, reason why the Colts have more pressure. After whining about always playing the Patriots in Foxborough, they're now playing at home. And Vegas has them as 3-point favorite.
Means nothing.
Well, you keep saying it. Everyone keeps saying it means something.
Yeah, people in Boston. Can we go to a national show?
Well, these people are all over the country.
They're Patriot fans, Fred.
Okay. Bob and Regina.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Who's favorite, the Saints or the Bears?
In that game?
Yes.
I don't know. Who is?
The Bears. Not one single human being on earth has picked the Bears to win this week. Nobody picks them. And I'm telling you, that's a dangerous thing for the Saints because the Bears are sitting here saying, well, Vegas has us as a 2.5-point favorite. We're playing at home. Nobody's giving us any respect. But, I mean, you talk about this game, everybody picking the Patriots. I don't even think it's close. The other way, you don't even hear the Bears get mentioned.
Yeah.
It's like this. It's written, the Saints are going,
right,
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So while the Bears are favorite by 2.5, I think the Saints got a lot of pressure on them because everyone's expecting them to be in the Super Bowl.
Bob from Canada says, fellows, if the Pats beat the Colts, the Pats will set a record of winning 9 games on the road for a season. I think the Colts will be under more pressure, but I think the Pats will be bucking history. The Colts have more incentive to win. I think they know their window of opportunity is closing. If their level of execution matches up with their perceived level of urgency, they will have a decent chance to win. But can the schemes of the Colts coaches and execution of the players overcome a Belichick master plan and the experience of 10 three-time Super Bowl winners? That is what should give the Pats the edge. But again, can the Pats buck history?
See, I don't know what that means, more incentive. Why do they have more incentive than anybody else? You're telling me Belichick and Brady don't want that fourth Super Bowl ring to put them on the cusp of history, doing something that nobody's ever done before? I just don't see where the incentive thing. Tell the Patriot players in the locker room that the Colts have more incentive. I don't think they agree with you.
Let's see. Evan and Melrose, how do you factor in your contention that the Pats are the consensus pick, even though they're 3-point favorites?
Oh, Christ.
I agree with Fred that the pressure is on the Colts, since this is what they have always said they needed to win, home field,
you know,
and even an improving defense.
My cousin told me, he said, you know, I lived in Massachusetts for 4 years. He said, you'll be there a month, and you're going to hate everybody there because they just don't get it. He said, you'll say something, and it goes in one ear and out the other. I don't give a damn what the line is. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. Watch, I want all these fans who email in, who tell us when the guys pick against the Patriots, get your notepad out, get a pen out, And I want you to write down all the people who picked the Colts this week. I want you to write it down. Because that's what the Colts are watching. They're watching the same thing you are, the same thing the Patriots do, ESPN, NFL Network. The line is 3 because they're playing in Indianapolis. Let me ask you something, Fred. If the
Shouldn't the line change?
It'll be 3 all week because it's a perfect line for that game. You're going to get half and half. That's what they want. Let me ask you.
But if everyone thinks that the Patriots are going to win.
No, analysts.
I'm talking about the bettors.
I'm not talking about the bettors.
I am.
The bettors are going to hit 50-50. That's why the line's 3.
No, but if the Patriots the Patriots are such favorites, won't everyone, and they're getting 3, you put your money on the Patriots.
We're talking about people on TV, people that we watch.
No, but I'm talking about shouldn't the line change because all the money's going on the Patriots.
You know what? You don't get it, and no, you say you've been betting games longer than I have, then you wouldn't be having this
argument
with me.
I didn't say as much. I said longer.
You wouldn't be having this argument with me. If the Patriots were a 3-point favorite in Indianapolis, all the money would go on the Colts right away, and that spread would change by 3 points in a matter of hours. That's why they don't do that. Because you know what happened? One time they made a Super Bowl 7.5. It was the Rams and it was the Titans Super Bowl. That line changed in 20 minutes. And the casinos that set it at 7.5 got absolutely killed because it landed on 7. You try to get it to where it's going to stay. They don't want lines changing.
Okay.
This is a perfect line for this game. It's an even game on the field.
So it's even.
Yes, and the Colts have home field advantage.
Oh.
I'm saying you're misunderstanding what I'm saying, Fred. I'm saying Sean.
I think there should be more pressure on the Colts.
I'm saying Sean Salisbury. I'm saying.
Oh, if they're all going to pick the Patriots.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
That's all.
Mike says, first off, I want to say feel better to Fred. Must have been that long plane ride. Second, the thing that worries me most on defense is when the Colts receivers do routes with double moves. Both Hobbs and Samuels have trouble with it. Third is what is it with everyone picking the Patriots by such a large margin last night? The Colts have just as good a chance to win as the Pats do. I will be traveling to Indy. I hope to see you there. So he must be referring to the show last night.
Well, Chris Collins didn't.
You guys, you were saying, Paul and you, blowout.
I said 31-20. I think it'll be like 24-20 in the fourth quarter, and Brady will put it away with a touchdown pass.
Okay. All right.
Paul thinks it's going to be a murder.
Yeah. Patriots will bend the Colts over a table on Sunday. Miami, here we come, says Brad. And Tom Casale for president.
Patriots are gay?
I agree.
Tom Casale for president.
I agree with everything that's been said in the last 10 seconds.
Let's see, Life Aquatic, Dan in New York. The director's other films, Rushmore and the Royal Tannenbaums, were better, but it's still a decent movie. Hey somebody
we got,
likes
we
it.
Got one.
It only took 6 months to find one person
a
on
little,
the internet.
Decent.
A little too subtle and odd for most people, but the critics generally liked it, and it has a cult following.
Well,
so
if the
tell,
critics like it, then I know I won't.
So
the critics are always wrong.
Tell Fred he's not completely alone. Thank you. Finally. Finally. Let's see. Liam writes in, so what do you think is the possibility of the Bill Polian's constant bitching now featuring a complaint about the refs, blah, blah, blah. We talked about that. Will it backfire and just piss off the officials? One can only hope. I was thinking about that. At what point do the refs say, you know what, screw him?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'd like
up.
To think that would never happen, but... They're human beings,
right.
And it can slip in the back of your mind, and it can affect things, and you never know. It's a dangerous game he plays.
I noticed that Colts.com has a podcast, too. I'm waiting to see if you can actually hear the wind blowing between their 6 teeth. But it's only on once a week on Fridays, so much like their front office, it's Bush League compared to Patriots.com.
Yeah.
Well, I like the Colts guys. I know who does this. They're good people.
I don't know them, so I can agree with you. It's Bush League.
Bush.
But they don't have the... resources that the crafts give us.
Now, if they offer to take me out for a St. Elmo's steak, they're the best website in the world.
You know, the crafts give us the resources to do this every day. So, finally, a little yes or no for whether or not these guys will be on the Patriots roster for 07. You ready?
No.
Asante Samuel.
No.
No.
Daniel Graham.
No.
Yes. Kelly Washington.
No.
No.
Bobby Engram.
No.
No.
Lance Briggs.
No.
No.
London Fletcher Baker.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Jabbar Gaffney.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we've changed on that one. All right?
Well, how? What do you mean by change?
I think earlier in the season we did the same thing and people said no.
Well, no, I don't think I ever said no. He was a nobody at one point, so I would have had no opinion.
Well, Fred, when you only have one catch on the season, it's kind of hard
to back
somebody.
Things have changed.
Yeah, they've changed.
Cato June.
No, not in this system.
Patrick Pass.
No.
Finally, Corey Dillon.
Yes.
Really? Okay. Now, does that mean he'll have to get a new contract? Because is his contract up this week?
He has to rearrange
not
it.
Not up. Yeah, they got to redo it.
Yeah. Let's see. Jason in Jacksonville. Glad the Pats won Sunday. They sure do know how to find ways to win games. Hope that the Pats can stop Manning's passing game and make good tackles, specifically on Dallas Clark. If the Pats are not able to sign Samuel, what are your thoughts on Marcus McCauley from Fresno State for first-round pick? He runs a 4.3, also has 40-inch vertical. He also does not seem to be a hothead and lets his plays do the talking.
I don't know. We haven't really gotten into our draft. I know who he's talking about. I've heard a lot about him when I watch those Fresno State games late at night, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens this offseason and do our draft stuff. It's kind of tough right now. We're still in season. We're still in the Super Bowl, but
I can guarantee you we'll talk to him at the combine.
Yeah, we'll talk to him. We'll get back to you.
And we'll ask him if he
knows.
What
we should do
James
is before
Sanders
the combine is people should give you their list of people they want you guys to talk to.
All right. Yeah. Why don't you guys start that up? Don't give it to us now.
No.
Wait until before we go, and you give us the list of the guys you're interested in, and we'll try to get the skinny on them and put it on Patriots.com.
Let's see. Robin writes, and if you like Monty Python, not that Aquatic is a riff on that style, but if you like Python, you can appreciate The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
You freaking kidding me? We're still talking about this movie. I know it's a fun running joke and all, but
I'm telling you, see? If you have seen The Royal Tannenbaums, another film by the creative team behind Aquatic, and liked it, you'll like Aquatic.
I like that movie.
If you didn't like Tannenbaums, you won't like Aquatic. The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou is less laugh-out-loud funny and more internet-speak. I wrote LOL because it is amusing, but I'm not really laughing out loud in reality. I don't know what that means, but
That's a synonym for stupid.
Okay. It's a nice little movie.
I'm dying to see this movie now. I have to see it.
Let's see.
Fred's been lowering the expectations as we move along here.
Sandeep from
got a great personality.
Sandeep from Bangalore, India says, Paul, being a native New Englander, you should know better than anybody else how the media covers the local teams, especially the Patriots. Not a day goes by without some schmuck columnist taking cheap shots at the savviest franchise when it comes to managing the cap.
Whoa. I don't think there's a ton of schmuck columnists taking shots at the franchise.
Excuse me?
No, I don't. Tell me who they are.
Do I have to?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to keep reading this email.
No, but seriously, I've had this discussion. They don't. It's in Bill We Trust. It's in Bill We Trust all the time.
The amount of ink, paper, TV, and radio time spent moaning over the loss of Adam, Branch, and Givens was nothing short of astronomical. The way the Patriots are portrayed, you would conclude that the team was being talked about was the Washington Redskins. When you are bombarded,
no, they spend all the time.
When you are bombarded by this constantly, how else do you think fans express their frustrations with the coverage of the team? Sometimes it's better to be out-of-town fans or out-of-country fan in my case, and that's why it's just not enough to beat the teams, but for certain specific things to happen. As for me, I agree with Tom. I would rather the Pats win 35-0 or something like that and not have the game come down to a field goal by Adam. And just for the record, I have nothing but fond memories of Adam's heroics and the Pats and wish him all the best, just not against the Pats.
And I think that's the right attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I
don't get any solace in the fact that Deion Branch didn't do much this year. Or David Givens was out all year. Or Tom Ashworth can't play.
That's not fair, Fred. We knew he couldn't play when he was here. We didn't have to watch him somewhere else.
Yeah, but
he's a good guy who cashed in.
First of all, I mean, if we want to take a second to talk about that, that might be the dumbest contract ever given out in the history of pro football.
He knew it.
But
he knew it when they signed
him. You know what? Adam Vinatieri, I mean, I know Branch did a lot for the team, but he kind of left, like, really ugly and everything, so I could kind of understand that. But that guy did so much to help your team win.
He built it.
How could you hate him? You know what I mean? Like, I could understand rooting against him that he's on the Colts. That's all in good fun. That's sports. But how could you hate him? I don't get.
Play a little game. Just erase him from history. Let's just erase his field goals. See what happens to this franchise. What changes?
Well, of course. I mean, a guy's going into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Going into the Pro Football Hall.
Well,
thing.
I'm just saying, you know, as far as the Patriots are concerned, it's not like they're going to kick him out of their own Hall of Fame. He's
right,
going
now,
in.
But people Sunday, like you want to root against him.
People like you root against him,
like me,
hate him, forget what he did.
People like me just said he's going into
history.
The Patriots Hall
you
of Fame.
You always downplay what all these guys do once they leave. That's what you do.
You guys are so bitter.
It's so bad. Carol
Tom,
Hardy.
You're not included in this. But you and Paul are so bitter that the Patriots have all the success. It kills you.
I'm not
it
bitter
at all.
It
just kills you.
It doesn't kill me
and,
in the
and,
least.
You know, it just makes it, for people like me, it makes it all that much more fun. Rob in Ashburn, Virginia. Just thinking of the name for the new DVD after Super Bowl instead of Three Games to Glory. How about four for number four? How about a web rebroadcast of your TV show? We could do that.
So why don't we?
I don't know. We could get the tape and put it up there.
For the last show of the year. Yeah. One more show.
Live in Miami.
maybe we could sell season one as a DVD.
Nice.
Chris C. Adam Schefter was on EEI about 9:15 this morning.
Paul probably heard it because he wasn't here yet.
He picked Indy because he said that before the season started, he picked Indy to go to the Super Bowl.
That is so stupid. I hate when people do that.
By the way, I picked Indy to go to the Super Bowl, too, but
yeah,
I'm not picking them this week.
I picked Tampa Bay to go to the Super Bowl, and I didn't like him to win the last game of the season.
Doug in Raleigh, North Carolina, says that Jim Rome just picked Indy over New England. There's two.
All right.
I was not with Paul, but I wasn't here. I was listening to Adam Schefter. He said Josh McDaniels is being talked about for the Raiders' head job.
Uh-huh. There you go. I told you, Fred. I told you. I said, watch, he's sneaking around the chicken coop. I told you.
You're right.
I thought you told me Brian Daboll.
But no, I also heard that they're interviewing Rob Ryan for that job.
But I didn't mean as an immediate head coach, Andy. I meant as an offensive coordinator somewhere.
By the way, they'll hire anybody.
They're interviewing Rob Ryan,
well,
too.
The last I heard was James Lofton.
James Lofton from the Chargers.
But I said, watch out for McDaniel. He's sneaking around the chicken coop.
Yeah, I really, you know, look, we all thought it was too soon for Mangini. I guess I'll make the same mistake again and say it's too soon for Josh
too soon if you go to Oakland.
He's younger and less experienced.
Yeah.
So you're saying it was too soon for a guy who's 7 years beyond
going to
him.
A much worse franchise if he goes to Oakland.
I got to be honest with you. If I'm Josh McDaniels, I decline the job.
Wouldn't even consider it.
No chance.
No.
Your boy turned down an interview.
Peyton.
Denny Green.
Oh, Denny Green?
Turned down an interview.
Forget about it then. They couldn't get a coach. Denny Green turned down an interview? This guy reads his resume on TV.
To be fair, the report I saw said some people believe he turned it down thinking that Al Davis should just hire him without interviewing him.
Now that makes sense.
Let's see. Dave in Cambridge says, Tom, here are a few people picking the Colts. Chris Carter, probably Merrill Hodge.
Whoa, you can't say probably.
Yeah, he hates him. And your man, Mike Felger.
Well, definitely Felger.
Yeah, but Felger is an idiot.
I agree.
Felger is he's just picking them for no reason whatsoever. I mean, he's got no backing.
Nothing.
He's just saying, I like the Colts.
And we were saying national, too, because Ron Borges will probably pick the Colts.
Felger said after the Minnesota game, I'm never picking against the Patriots again. I'm not doing it.
Felger's an idiot.
Hey, doesn't Chris Carter hate the Patriots for some reason?
Yeah,
people always say that he hates the Patriots. I don't. I got to be honest with you. I've never listened to Chris Carter in my life.
What's he on?
I think he's on HBO.
Yeah, he's on Inside the NFL. Yeah. And he's also on Sirius Radio.
For some reason, I heard he hates the Patriots. I don't know why.
Don't say it.
He's actually off and on Sirius, depending on whether you can acquire the signal.
I know it. He couldn't resist.
That piece of crap satellite network.
John in Missouri says, here's an example of a so-called sports expert picking Indy over the Pats. Not only is Chris Carter one of the ugliest commentators in sports, he is also one of the most stupid. He says the Colts have the advantage in defense, special teams, and that coaching is a toss-up. What an ass.
See, did he say that or Ron Borges?
To me, that's just, you know, if a guy gets on there and tries to give you a reason why the Colts will win, you know, I'll listen to him. But to say that kind of crap, that coaching is a toss-up defense?
Yeah. Forget it.
I'm saying he drew the short straw, and they said, we need one of our panelists to go around talking up the
Colts. No, but I heard he hates the Patriots, and he always picks against them.
He could. Chris, Bridge City, Texas, says, just a thought. I think Peyton is primed for a beating. This stint of bad performances for Peyton sets him up for failure against the Patriots. I think he will be nervous due to his lackluster play of late and try to do too much, force bad situations, and be revisited by ghost of playoff pass. Just a feeling.
But he was always nervous when he was playing great, when he came in here having never punted during the play. So maybe this is the exact opposite.
He's a loser.
Brian in Colorado, loser. Moose Johnson just picked the Colts on his show.
He has a show?
I guess so.
These guys are all picking the Colts? Well, I guess I'm wrong then. You know what? I thought by now.
Well, all these guys are kind of fringe guys, though.
You know what? I guess these guys haven't learned their lesson. See, I just assumed after last week, and with the Colts being the team that they're playing, everybody would have learned their lesson. But I guess they'll have to wait one more week.
Fringe guys.
Let's see.
Fred's now rating.
Well,
where people
you know rank. What I you know what I'm saying.
Well, Adam Schefter is pretty high.
You know, I wouldn't think that.
Well,
the
he is
him.
Now.
I
but he's think, more of a. That's like Chris Mortensen picking games. He's not really an analyst.
I guarantee
he's
picking the Patriots because he's thought the Colts stunk since like week four. He has hated the Colts all year.
Mac in Somerville, not sure if you've seen this AP report from today, but last night Rodney Harrison was at a BC basketball game.
Yep.
Insert Ted Saranda soundbite here. No, Gary's playing solitaire. He's too busy.
As usual.
And a reporter asked him.
Wow!
And a reporter asked him about a possible return to action this week. We'll see, Harrison said, day to day. So that's it. All right.
We saw him in the locker room today. He'll be on the injury report.
When you see him, you tell him Ted Saranda says hello.
Artie from Keene, New Hampshire says, I would rather have my testicles set on an anvil and pounded with a ball-peen hammer than watch that friggin' movie Life Aquatic again. Oh, my God.
My guess is if you hate it, you really hate it.
Let's see. Daniel is going to make fun of us now. He says the debate about pressure is rather insane. Each team has a completely different type of pressure. It's like having two guys holding fruit. One has 300 pounds of apples, the other 300 pounds of oranges. Who has more weight? They're different types of fruit, but an equal amount of weight. It's two different types of pressure, but the amount is equal. The real question is who will deal with the pressure the best, because both team is capable of playing a brilliant game.
You're not gonna well, we know the answer to that. Tailpipe.
So we
plus
had
the
a,
guy thought it was a stupid argument and then spent
right.
four
then,
hours
then he
typing.
Gets all philosophical.
Yeah, Jesus.
Liam says, if you love Bill Murray, you'll like Life Aquatic. So
like. So you love Bill Murray, but you like the
no,
movie.
No, he said love, actually. That was his word, love. So
why'd you say like, then?
Because I just, you know.
Can't read.
Sometimes I edit as I.
That's
let's
changing.
See. Jeff from Reston, Virginia says, some picks from SportingNews.com. Vinny Iyer.
Now we're on the fringes.
Yeah. War Room Scouts, Arnie Spanier. I guess they all picked the Colts. CBS picks Pete Prisco, Clark Judge, Greg Bromberg, Ron Davis, Dave Richard. These are just a few. I'm sure there are others.
They all
picked
the Colts?
Prisco picked the Pats in Boston.
Did he?
Wow.
Oh, well, nice.
I guess I was wrong then, because I thought the whole world would pick the Patriots.
Well, you know, we should keep track. And
Pete Prisco is Tom Casale?
I'm surprised. I don't do that. I pick the Patriots everywhere I was, and they won.
Except in real life.
Boy, Fred, these guys can't stand when they lose a game, can they? I mean, Paul sits there and roots for his pick. Like it's life or death.
I know.
He's got, like, the pad out, and he's, like, he's shaking.
I know.
He wants his.
He has issues.
He's sitting there rooting for the Bears to cover. And I said, would you pick this on the radio or your big radio show or something? And he goes, no, just our show. And he's sitting there yelling at the TV.
Oh, yeah. He's got issues.
Yeah.
He's got serious issues.
He really takes his picks very seriously.
Well, and he was wrong. He picked the Chargers.
Well, that's why he gets very nervous, because he's often not right. So Josh says, Sean Christmas Tree Haircut Salisbury picked the Colts on Monday on ESPN.
Did he really?
Did anybody pick the Patriots?
I can't believe this. You know what? I am in total shock.
John in Grand Junction, Colorado says Len Pasquarelli has a front page story on ESPN.com. It's titled Five Reasons Why the Colts Will Be in the Super Bowl. But he also has 10 reasons why the Patriots will.
That was a joke, but I'm right.
Well,
this is a perfect Tom Casale. No one's picking the Colts.
But I'm in shock.
I didn't think
anyone had picked the game yet. I was waiting later in the week when everyone comes out with their picks, and I thought they'd all pick the Patriots.
Let's see, James.
Although I should say one thing. Salisbury on TV will say the Patriots.
Right.
So, you know, I told you, the Patriots hanging around.
These guys really need to be held accountable. They're not held accountable enough.
I can't believe all these people are putting their faith in Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy. I'm shocked.
James says he's in Brockton, but he's from Brockton, but he lives in Cleveland now. I just love your show. Keeps me close to my Pats with all the stats and stories about my Pats that I can't get on ESPN. I really feel that the Colts have so much more pressure on them than the Pats.
I agree
So what if they bet us it in the regular season? It's the playoffs where the Patriots own Peyton's head, and I feel that they still own it. The playoffs are a whole different animal, and the Patriots have owned the playoffs. Go Pats.
I agree. Everyone's picking the Colts. They got tons of pressure on them.
Let's see. Shannon Sharp. This is from Bradley. He picked the Colts last Sunday night after the games. So
it's amazing.
Well, let's see, play a different game. Has anyone picked the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. I can't believe it.
I still,
see, we don't get to watch those shows and stuff.
I still got to believe that most people are going to pick the Patriots.
Who? Who's most people? There's nobody left.
There's Chris Berman?
Well, yeah, you got all those.
Well, you know, Berman. Jaworski, but he doesn't
Irvin,
count.
All those guys.
Irvin? Irvin hates the Patriots.
Yeah, but he'll pick a Marino and, you know, all those. I know Boomer picked the Patriots. Boomer Esiason.
Right.
I know he picked them. But we'll see. We'll see. We should keep, let's get a running list. And we'll
Chris Berman. We'll definitely pick the Patriots for sure. We know that.
Whoop! All right. Whoop! All right, that's going to be it for this edition. We'll see you tomorrow on PFW in Progress.